Hey, what's poppin'? Drew and Mike show from the DealsNitty.com studios. And it's the Wednesday version. As we had Trudy back in studio yesterday, and today she's not present, but she'll be here tomorrow. Brandon, we don't know so much about. She's hanging by Zoom at this point.
And he loves it.
Does
I do
he
not love it?
It.
No, I don't.
Sure.
I'm positive. I've had enough of working from home. I want to come back.
Yeah, it, you know, the dinner being delivered and all that doesn't look so bad. But
just
I don't
have
know.
Mark deliver me dinner when I return.
Okay. Since you can never identify, it doesn't really matter what I make you, because you'll eat it.
Appreciate it.
Hey, Brandon, do we have a good contact with the Trump Unity Bridge guy?
We do, yeah. I have his phone number.
I don't know why. People are insisting we need to call him. I don't really understand. It sounds like a lot of people know him. And maybe that story's a little weirder than I even thought. But anyway, we'll get to that and much, much more. I wanted to mention that the merch, the Drew and Mike store is open. And in fact, I even wore the ML Soul of Detroit.
Oh, the Gator, yeah.
Yes. I guess is it effective enough? Allegedly?
Well, there was a study out that said they were no help in spreading or stopping the spread of COVID, but then a new story did say that, yes, they are effective.
Well, you can double up on them anyway. Yeah. And then also the ML...
It doesn't matter because it just looks good.
The ML Soul of Detroit Red Shovel Network Room 709 keychain, I see.
7609, yes.
7609. What did I say? 7069?
709.
Yeah, which I think is pretty cool. And the whole concept of Room 7609 is very cool to me because I enjoy that music so much. And also, Drew and Mike stuff is there. I don't know what we're stocked up on and not stocked up on, but we rarely do talk about it.
Plenty of stuff there, yeah. Just checking out. I think the sale is still going on.
We're still unloading inventory?
We want to clear some stuff out so we can come back with some new stuff in the fall.
Yeah, we did have a lot of stuff, and... It's not that it doesn't sell. It just was selling. We had more than we wanted. We wanted to get restarted. So, yeah, it's a great time to buy merch in the Drew and Mike store. And, of course, Charlie's got his Fix the Shit t-shirt, which was very popular. It is very popular. And a couple others, and there's all kinds
of things
in
there. Wear that outfit again.
And for those of you rock dogs who know what Room 7609 is all about, last week I talked about Walter Lure dying, the last of the Heartbreakers. Not Tom Petty's, but Johnny Thunder's Heartbreakers. And I wanted to mention some good reading I stumbled into. Walter Lure had a book before he died, To Hell and Back, My Life in Johnny Thunder's Heartbreakers. In the words of the last man standing, Walter Lure with Dave Thompson. But, of course, he's not standing. And then the drummer, who I think is grossly underrated, Jerry Nolan drummed for the New York Dolls, the Heartbreakers, and a couple other bands. And these guys were, there we go. These guys were crazy, crazy junkies, but they put out some great music. And reading these, if you like those gritty, grimy, junky, rock and roll, groupy New York stories, kind of like Please Kill Me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Except
great
it's
book.
Isolated to one guy. This is called Stranded in the Jungle, Jerry Nolan's Wild Ride. Great drummer. I really like the drumming on that stuff. I'm enjoying both those books. And then I got a book, after we had Robbie Robertson on, I got Levon Helm's book, and it is also quite enjoyable. I love Levon.
About him or by him?
It's about him, by Sandra Tooze, T-O-O-Z-E, author of Muddy Waters, The Mojo Man. And Levon, to me, is the voice of the band, and also have discovered a lot of other music just from reading the book and all the stuff that went on after the band. So there's some good reading for you, and I want to mention, too...
Can I mention, too, that, and I don't think we plug it enough, but on the website, DrewMikeShow.com, Drew's favorite things are on there, where you can find all these books linked up to the Amazon portal page.
There's so many rock books now. I don't know. There's just a rash of them, and a lot of them I go, I didn't know there was a book about Jerry Nolan. I didn't know there was a book by Walter Lure. I mean, they just come out all the time, and they must do fairly well.
Yeah,
because people keep... putting them out.
But if we talk about a a book, or you talk about a book or an item or something, we tend to put it up there. So there's a lot of stuff up on Drew's favorite things, not Oprah.
Did you put the new Bose speaker on there?
Oh, I did not. No. Oh, yeah. Well, maybe we'll wait for the speaker off.
Oh, those guys are—they're such chicken bleep. They're not going to. There's going to be no speaker off.
Did you see the email from?
I can't hardly hear you.
An email from one of them the other day, wondering.
Is Matthew Grafton?
No, it was the other one. And he's wondering if you're pussying out on the speaker off.
Well, let's see what he's got.
He sent a whole picture of what he's got. It's pretty. I'll see if I can pull it up.
Wait, is this the guy with the big stereo system with 9 speakers? I have 1 speaker.
Scared?
I'm not scared. I just know I'll blow him away with my 1 speaker.
Okay. I think you're scared. Some people are saying
well,
you're scared.
It's a little embarrassing to be speaker poor, but it was I'm very proud of my speaker.
Did you know Brett wanted to have a speaker off?
What's Brett have?
Here, I'll pull it up. I don't know if you'll be able to see it, but here it is. Turn my headphones up! Look at he's got that giant speaker right there. He wants to have a speaker off. I don't like everybody looking at my email, by the way, so I got to get off that screen.
That's his speaker?
Yeah. He thinks he can rock you out, man.
Yeah, one
Kiss
speaker.
Fan. He said, what happened to the speaker off? I can't help but think Drew's scared his speaker won't match up.
Oh, I'm proud of my speaker.
Some people are saying.
Here's a nice piece of shit.
I notice he's got a receiver, too. I just have a phone, and I'm fine with that. If he needs a little help from his receiver,
I love how you're
that's his problem.
Sandbagging it already.
Meanwhile, Facebook Live is brought to you by Emergency Response Services Incorporated. Water is everywhere. It's going to get there if it's not there yet. It always wins. Water wins. It's everywhere in your home. Leaky sink, washing machine, behind the fridge, the dishwasher. Washer is always churning water out where I don't want it. Mm. Damn it. Keep an eye out for water in your home, not just floods, but floods too, and the mold left behind. And Emergency Response Services Incorporated will help you, and also fire damage, storm damage, COVID, also disinfecting. Call 877-JOB-DONE or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com. Just put it on the fridge. 877-JOB-DONE. Anything for the Hall Financial Hotline today besides the Trump Unity Bridge?
Nothing new, no.
No, okay.
Kind of a lack of those stories.
Oh, wait. Were those IRS numbers, Brandon? Or Social Security numbers?
One was a Social Security, one was a student loan, and the other was an IRS. I called them and they did not work. However, Mark did have one from an emailer, Kathy, and I spaced and completely forgot to really jump into it. It seemed more of a local scam, didn't it?
Yeah, it was crazy. That's that email I gave you yesterday. I don't know if you checked it out or read it, but it's pretty interesting. I don't know.
What are they asking for? They ask for money?
Yeah, that guy is, and she went so far to call the Royal Police and like, oh yeah, this guy's been scamming people. It almost sounds like he was inspired by a Nigerian prince and decided like, well, if other people are getting scammed, I might as well get in on the scamming business.
I understand how if the police know about it, then why is it still going on?
I don't know.
Isn't that kind of wacky?
I don't know. Maybe
that's
catch
not
them.
Their thing, you know?
Yeah.
Royal Oak is just so overwhelmed by all the Royal Oak bucks being spent by our listeners.
They're drowning in money, that's why.
They are. They really are. In fact, yesterday I think it was another 2,000 bucks or more spent by you guys with Royal Oak Bucks. And please continue to spend that money as you've done so well so far. I don't even think we're halfway to $400,000 though. So there's a lot more to be spent, and you know, this is a great week too. The weather's nice, it's a little cooler, big weekend coming. You know, for some, the last weekend of the summer. Did I lose my copy here? No, there it is. So, yeah. Also, the $500 in downtown. That's ended yesterday. That's right. So, if you want to take the lift in for $10 off, use go, the letter, the number 2RO. Go2RO is your code. Get $10 off on lift going into Royal Oak. Get $10 off going home. And that's from 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. Thursday and Friday, and from 10 a.m. to 2 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday. Sunday's a big day for Royal Oak Bucks, by the way. A lot of people hang out.
I don't know
Sunday.
What to do with all the money they're giving us. It's crazy.
Having a good old time. And I will finish with Hall Financial. Of course, you know, interest rates are so low, all-time low. They refinance more people in the last month than they ever, ever have at Hall Financial. Just a great month. So many people are refinancing now because they're saving money. If you haven't done it last year, it's worth a try. And you might be able to skip a couple payments, which is pretty nice about
wow.
now.
I have an extra $250 in my paycheck.
Hallelujah. Low rates mean value if you're on the market for that new home, too. Remember, Hall Financial Services is the fastest in the business. A lot of realtors are just attached to these guys because they know they're quick. Get your mortgage in half the time of their competitors, and virtual appraisals can be done without someone setting foot inside your home. So make money by saving money. Live how you want. Call 248-308-5000 for Hall Financial, or go to davidallmortgage.com/Drew and Mike, or go and click on our website, fill out the online form, NMLS number 1467435. There was another presidential poll that got a lot of attention yesterday because it was closer, probably the closest one I've seen since I don't know when, because the YouGov poll was out over the weekend, and that showed that Trump was within 6 points, which he had not been in over 2 months.
That's right.
And the Emerson poll has him within 2 points, 49-47. And, you know, I just checked 538 today to see what the national approval rating is, and they take... You know, they take a myriad of polls and they just average them out. Isn't that how they do it?
Yeah, it's an aggregate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway,
they do weight them based on past success.
I recall a couple months ago, he was around 40, like 40.1, 40.2. For some reason, I'm not exactly sure. I have ideas, but he's up to 43.3. And usually when he's around that point, it seems like that's about as good as it gets for Trump. Although he was higher than that before COVID.
42%, 38%.
But this race looked, you know, this is why you can never, ever say a presidential race is over. I know we talked about the day Dukakis was in the tank and, you know, how he was up 15 points or something. And something crazy happens and all of a sudden it's a race. And it looks like the race is on. This is just one poll. YouGov was, you know, 6 points. It's really two polls. So, they could be the outliers. You could have someone else come out tomorrow and say Biden's up 12 points, as it seems like so many polls have said over the course of the summer. But I thought there was something far more interesting than this. First of all, in the battleground states, Trump was leading Ohio and Texas. Texas by 6, 47-41, and Trump was ahead in Ohio, 46-43. I don't think they've shown him leading those states in quite a while.
Texas and Ohio?
Yeah. Or maybe by a point.
They tend to lean red.
Yeah, they do. But Biden was leading every single battleground state not too long ago. And some of the other ones are getting closer. But even that was not the most interesting thing in this poll for me by a long shot. I was more intrigued by these questions. Would you feel comfortable going to a restaurant with some spacing precautions? And they divided it up by your political choice. If you're a Democrat, there's a 26% chance you'd be comfortable going to a restaurant with some spacing precautions. If you are a Republican, 56%. Now,
are you really surprised by that?
By that big a divide?
I'm not surprised by that at all. As political as COVID has been, not one bit.
But I would think, okay, it might be political because you want it to be political, or you want it to be, you know, people maybe are rooting for the disease, or maybe they want Trump to look bad. But I still would think that when you want to do something in your personal life that basically everybody's not exactly the same, but kind of the same. That's more than double, 56% to 26%. So apparently Democrats are sitting at home and Republicans are going out and spending money. In Texas, it was even more dramatic. 62% of Republicans are comfortable going to a restaurant with some spacing, 25% of Democrats. In Ohio, 70% of Republicans are comfortable going to a restaurant. 26% are not. So I guess Republicans don't believe in science.
Oh, you can spend money from home, too.
But that's not what the question is. The question is about going to a restaurant.
No, I know, but you said Republicans are out spending the money.
Yeah, no, that's true. Would you feel comfortable going to the gym with some spacing precautions? And 46% of Republicans said yes. 18% of Democrats said yes. That's in California. In Texas,
it's political bullshit.
47% of Republicans are comfortable going to a gym. 14% uncomfortable. In Ohio, 59% comfortable Republicans. Democrats, 21%. That's almost triple. And then would you be comfortable going to the beach or a park with some spacing precautions? California, 70% of Republicans are comfortable, 48% of Democrats. In Texas, it's 72 to 46. And in Ohio, 79 to 52. So, you know, in terms of, you know, blaming or, you know, whether you're concerned or unconcerned and your political affiliations somehow blend in there. But I would think your behavior would be your behavior.
Well, yeah, but your behavior is what you believe in, too. If you don't believe it's an issue, you don't think you're going to get COVID, or you think you're going to get COVID, then you're going to do things based on your behavior and what you want to believe.
So if that's the case, then Republicans or Democrats are significantly smarter or unsmarter than the other, depending on what is smart. Is it smart to be going out and living your life, or is it smarter to be sitting at home?
I think they're both right.
Yeah, I use many stats.
I'm just amazed by the diversion.
I'm not at all.
If you say, Republican, are you voting for Trump? Obviously, you're going to get, 90 to 10. If it's a Democrat, it's going to be 5 to 95. But when you're talking to go to a restaurant or going to a gym or going to the park, I just wouldn't have expected it. But anyway,
What were the park numbers?
It was like 75 to 48 or something. Yeah. Let's see, California was 70 to 48. Texas was 72 to 46. And Ohio was 79 to 52. So, I mean, even the park.
I like that.
And I gave you the two states that showed the biggest shift. Although, I guess there's shifts in some of the other states, too. Although, Michigan, I think Biden still has a significant lead.
Long way to go.
Yeah, and something could happen.
Michigan!
Who knows? Who knows what will happen next? Something crazy could happen. But I get the feeling that because Biden now is speaking out about the riots and blaming Trump.
And pretty forcefully. I thought he made some fine points in the political realm of the argument.
And Trump blames anti-Americans. Trump was in Kenosha today. And it's the only thing with Biden is he just hasn't said anything much until now. And that's why Don Lemon said, and I guess Don Lemon must have the internal polling, because it looks like Don Lemon's internal polling is sort of like the real polling.
Do you need internal polling for that to know that he should have come out and said something?
No, I didn't think so. Honestly, I felt this thing shifting the last 3 or 4 weeks, just like I felt the NBA shifting a while ago. I felt like I see a lot of people not liking this. Whether I do or not, I see a lot of people not liking it. I felt the same way about Colin Kaepernick, that it was going to upset a lot of people.
It's back to what's working for him, which is fear. And fear worked in 2016, and it works now.
Fear,
of how terrible everything is and how bad everything is.
But he's the president.
That's why I thought, to that point, that's why I thought Biden's comments were pretty good, saying, hey, this
wrong.
We're not talking about what's going to happen when I'm elected. We're talking about what's happening right now while you're president. It works if you're not the incumbent.
Well, both say that it will be something close to the apocalypse if the other one is elected. So I guess we can't.
I know,
win.
But we know what happened. We know what it is with one person.
He's a sleepy guy.
I got to tell you, without COVID and without the social justice movements, Trump would easily win. Easily.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too.
Yeah. And people were not thinking that before.
I think social justice now is not helping Biden. I don't think it is now. I think it may have been at one point. But Brandon, you're not saying anything. What do you think about all this?
I completely agree in the fact that, you know what, skip me for a second.
I'll say this. I'm really surprised. The painting of Biden as being this radical socialist, I don't think is that really taking hold? Are people really buying into that?
Well,
I mean the moderates or, you know.
I don't think you necessarily have to. It has to be Biden. It can be the Democratic Party. It can be the far left. The center left will take responsibility for the far left in many cases, and the same thing with the Republicans. I think you you take responsible for the biggest weenies in your party, whether they have anything to say about it or not, like defunding the police.
Oh, I don't know. I kind of disagree with that, because it really seems like the moderate Republicans are just all aboard, and I mean elected officials are all aboard with whatever Trump says. And make no bones about it, he is the.
It's a lot of Republicans who are saying they're voting Democrat.
Huh?
A lot of Republicans are saying they're voting Democrat.
I know.
I mean, how often
I'm
does that
about
happen?
Elective officials are all in on Trump because their job depends on it. No one has the balls. Look what happens when you have the balls to stand up. Justin Amash, poof, what happened to that guy? If you disagree with them, you're cooked.
Well, but, you know, there was a lot of talk about defunding the police, and a lot of talk about defunding the police, and Biden says he's not for it. But still, I think of Biden vote, some people will,
but that's
will
what I mean.
Factor that in and say, I don't like what's going on over there.
That's what I mean. Do you think people are buying and believing that? Do you think people are honestly believing that?
I think it worries them. Just like I think crime worries people. And when they see a lot of crime, and personally, I don't see this stopping anytime soon. I mean, how many nights is Portland on? 80, 90 nights? And Detroit is on a lot of nights. In Detroit, I know they're suing the police. They want them to not have batons.
Detroit has been fantastic.
It's been pretty good.
Are people really scared about the crime going on in Detroit because of the protests?
No, my point is that the protests are still going on. They're just going on and on and on. And I feel like, what's the end game here? Because it seems like if you bait the police long enough, the police are, something bad is going to happen. In fact, Trump said something interesting today.
With the Detroit, I think they handled it perfect. They said, look, we're not going to enforce certain laws. As long as you're marching and you keep moving, fine. We're cool with that. We support that. We support the message getting out. That's basically what they said. Then you have 10 days ago, where they said, you know what, Detroit Will Breathe says, we're going to occupy part of Woodward. And the Detroit police said, you're not. If you try to, we're getting you out of here. And they tried to. And next thing you know, they arrested 44 people.
But the police are still painted as being, you know, brutal. And they did this and they did that.
But if you want to talk about polls, there was another poll that came out recently about the support of the police. And it's still very, very high, far higher than the support of the protesters. I'm not going to believe that myth that they're painted that terrible.
I don't think it's a myth at all. If you watch TV, if you watch Good Morning America, if you watch Today Show, if you watch NBC News at night, you will see more shitty things about police. And if you watch MSNBC, CNN.
But you're choosing to believe that that is overall how most people feel?
No, I don't think necessarily that is how most people feel. I think that's a very loud group is very, and you know, I don't mean to I don't want to say necessarily it's, you know, there's a lot of white people in the protest. There's a lot of black people. There's a lot of black people and white people speaking out, like LeBron James, that the police are terrible. They're racist. They're systematically racist. And it's just said so much. And sometimes today, for example, the lead story on TMZ the last 2 days has been something horrible about the police. Today it was a LAPD cop.
TMZ, though.
TMZ has a lot of viewers. A lot of people are watching.
There's more people that don't watch it, though.
Last night, the networks had the white cop who was not, who was taking all this shit from a white driver who's calling him a fucking asshole and a pig and all this. And then there was black guy who got kicked in the back and was like, look how they treat whites versus black. And it's like, those are two different, I mean, it's two out of how many bazillion arrests in one day. But it got big play on social media, so it got big play on TV. And that's
doesn't mean that's the reality, though.
I don't think it is the reality, but I think that's the perception that people try. I mean, I think the media has been extremely anti-police. I mean, not even close for my taste, because, you know, what happens, too, is when you have something that is horrible, like George Floyd was horrible, you'll see it 5 million times. When the police deliver a baby or they shoot a bad guy in Dearborn like they did the other night, guy killed his mother and his sister, and the police showed up, and the guy shooting an AK-style gun from a balcony at the police, they shoot and kill him. Well, you're not going to see that 5,000 times on TV. But you're going to see George Floyd. You're going to see George Floyd more. You're going to see, God, how many times have I seen Jacob Blake? Oh, my God. I mean, I can't even count them. And that story is just Trump had an interesting comment today, by the way, about that I, you know, I've thought this at times. It's not really acceptable, but he said the cops sometimes choke because either they're dead or they're in big trouble. And I wonder if he planned on saying that or if that was something that they thought out, if he said it off the top of his head. But I think it's very true. When you're in that moment where something really bad could happen, sometimes you just do the wrong thing, and it looks like, well, you're a fucking racist, and you shot a black guy.
Well, I guess the question would be, why do you do the wrong thing?
Well, I, what he said was he thinks they choke sometimes. And I agree. I think cops do choke sometimes. They just, it's a very tough situation. Some people just aren't up to the task. Some are, some aren't. You know, if you're wrong about something, if you go, oh, I'm not worried about that guy. In fact, it must have been Fox News and Tucker Carlson ran something where it was cops who gave this guy a little too much leeway. And what do you know? He took the cops' gun away. And the next thing, you know, he's shooting at two cops over a car. You know the story I'm talking about, Brandon?
Yeah, that was a pretty viral one there. Everybody wants to try to justify the way they feel based on a video that has occurred in the past, and we see that over and over. Sorry about earlier. I had a complete and utter distraction. It's been a crazy day. But in terms of...
What the hell happened?
Well, I'm getting... I got a story for you guys later.
No, just what happened when you couldn't talk?
Yeah, exactly. I'm receiving a message, and I just blanked and read the message and had to run away for a moment. So I apologize for that. It's been a pretty, pretty insane day for me. We'll get into that in a little bit. But when it comes down with Trump and Biden, these protests, social unrest, and COVID-19, this election is going to look so much different had 2020 not been, you know, such a pretty incredible unconventional year. And I'm just curious on what happens after the election happens. I mean, does anything with the COVID change? Is that when we find out it's political? Or
is that when Democrats start going out to dinner?
Does the unrest on the streets
Republicans like, start staying
slow
home?
Down depending on who is the one that is the victor? So there's so many unknowns. And then you had mentioned it yesterday and the day before maybe that, you know, we still have to see the court cases of all these incidents that have caused this social unrest. And if something goes the wrong way for a particular party, what are we going to see then?
You know, it frightens me because I don't think those cases are as clear cut as people would like to believe they are. You got four cops in the one in Minneapolis, and Atlanta, you have the one cop who shot a guy who beat up two cops and was running away with a taser, and he shot over his shoulder. And it just, you know, with these police cases, they're just, you know, you have to, the final instruction they give is that you have to view this in through the eyes of the police officer. And did he feel, have a reasonable right to feel fear or to feel threatened? And, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe they'll all convict and maybe the juries will feel the pressure that, you know, the police are feeling right now.
Isn't that kind
but
of what
they don't always do that.
Isn't that the only thing that's going to prevent additional chaos in a sense? Because even if four out of the next five, you know, they're convicted, there's still a lot of these incidents now. We have Rittenhouse, you know, we have the original one that kicked it off with George Floyd in Atlanta, just like you said. And I mean, just three out of four, you still
Jacob
have
Blake.
That fourth one that might
but
cause
this
chaos.
Is the fear I'm talking about. You guys are just so full of fear about all that. And I'm just not. I don't know.
Maybe you're not afraid if they found the cops in Minneapolis not guilty? You don't think there'd be a response to that?
I don't think
that?
Democracy is going to collapse. I don't think
democracy is going to collapse. I just
I don't want
people burning people's buildings down and, you know, busting a bunch of shit up. I just
want people shooting people on the street. I don't think that's going to happen, though.
Well, nobody wants people shooting on this people on the street. I'm just concerned that, you know, if these cases go the wrong way, I could see this election leading to a lot of unrest. And as far as me personally, no, I'm not afraid somebody's going to come in my house and shoot me, but I don't like to see any of that.
Ultimately, I blame COVID because with, you know, without COVID, we have a ton of movies, we have a ton of music and concerts and festivals. We have a whole bunch of different things that we're able to do. Everybody's working. No one, not many people can go out late at night and maybe protest or something like that. So yeah, I blame COVID-19.
Whitmer, it sounds like we are going to get open sesame on gyms and theaters and bowling alleys. I hope so.
Bowling lanes?
bowling lanes.
Health clubs?
Whatever. And also there are a couple stories today that were significant. MGM's laying off 1,100 Detroiters. Ford's cutting 1,000 salaried employees. GM made their last ventilator, by the way, 30,000 ventilators. And
I thought it was interesting Ford was quick to point out that this is not COVID-related, which I don't know what that matters to the people that are losing their jobs, but...
Yeah, I don't know why they
point that out.
Had to say that.
I don't know. I didn't understand that either. But other than that, they want... They want better investment in the market because of that. In other words, hey, we're going to be leaner. Because usually job cuts, you know, raise the stock price because you're going to be leaner.
Yeah, I don't know about 1,000, but who knows? Ford's, you know, obviously moving in a different direction now. There's also this story in Pontiac, this drive-by where somebody shot an 11-year-old girl, a 7-year-old girl, and a 10-month-old infant. Three girls. Three suspects driving a white Chrysler 300. They think it's a white Chrysler 300. I got to tell you, I cannot imagine seeing a picture of my car on the news after I shot an 11-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 10-month-old.
Well, I think if you're the kind of person that does that, you don't really care.
You might want to care. I can't, like I said, I can't imagine what they're thinking. But two gunmen, one driver, they seem to know a lot about it. And, I mean, just incredible. Also, they found a missing man, been missing for 5.5 months.
Yeah.
Was found dead in an assisted living place. Let's see. It was the basement of the adult care facility,
yep.
Faithful Helping Hands Home Care. This poor guy beat cancer at 15. At 19, he was in a terrible car accident, had a head injury, seizures, and he's in this adult assisted living place because he's got a head injury. He's having a lot of problems. But he's also, you know, he's mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody gets in the basement and dies in the basement. And I'm wondering, what the hell happened to this guy? How did he just die in the basement? Isn't that kind of strange?
He said there was no sign of violence. So I don't know. That makes it even more mysterious to me.
Did he get locked into a room or?
Did he fall?
Well, they said that people go down to that basement. They said there's been boxes moved and there's been, you know, and you know, it's
nice
amazing.
Making it so easy for them to just to go in the basement of the home.
When you watch enough true crime, you know that one thing that always happens when you find a body is that, oh, God, the smell!
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my God, I would just hate to die and be somewhere for a while because I would just know that
you
somebody's going to say I stink like nothing else. And it's so funny, too, when they do the recreations, the cops are always like, ah!
Yeah.
You know, it's just the most horrible thing.
Well, remember that guy in Unsolved Mysteries, the very first one about the dude who fell from the... Or was he pushed from the parking garage?
Yeah.
Into the hotel.
And, they opened the door.
The dude that found him was like, I still smell that smell today.
Smells kind of gamey in here.
They always do. They always talk about just the unmistakable, horrific smell. And I always feel bad for whoever it is. Because, like, well, fuck, they just died.
You know what, though? They're dead. They're not going to know.
I know, but I still feel bad for them.
I mean, I don't care.
And I know they would feel bad if they knew how bad they stunk.
I don't care what you guys say about how bad I smell when I die, personally.
Okay.
If I'm down here in the basement and you guys find me 5 months later, you can talk about how bad I reeked. Because you know what? I won't know.
Well, this guy apparently didn't smell. How can that be? I mean, somebody had to know this if people were down there. In fact, I think they said the kitchen wasn't too far away from there. How could they not smell this?
Assisted living center. Not known for its great aromas.
Yeah, but a body for 5.5 months and how many months was he dead? I am very.
Is he in the freezer? Maybe he's in the freezer.
That's what I was thinking.
I would really like to know. No, they did not say he was in the freezer because they, you know, if he was in the freezer, that would explain it. Yeah, he was in the freezer. I mean, of course he's dead.
Yeah.
But I'm very interested. That's kind of a mystery. Also, political commercials are really, really on the uptake. Can you go to?
Please tell me it's a John James or Gary Peters.
It's John James into Gary Peters.
Back to back. You know, the TV stations
back to back. It's
back
like they don't have.
The
I mean, we used to have to be responsible with that. Like, don't run two car dealers back to back. And what TV has none of that responsibility whatsoever?
Well, don't you feel like whoever has the second ad wins?
Oh, the James ad is much better because the ad about James is that he's wrong on health care and wrong for Michigan. The ad about Gary Peters is the thing that really hit me in the ad was that he doubled his wealth while he was in office. So in other words, he's capitalizing on his position. And then they have this graphic up there, and the commercial keeps going. It's Gary Peters, there for himself, invisible for Michigan.
Yeah.
It's Gary time.
I've seen that. Where did you see it at?
Fox 2. I think it was at 10:23 last night. And while you're looking, I'll mention that Zot Ford's got the giant summer sales event winding down. They have those new Ford models below $200 a month, and there's probably a couple left if you want to take advantage. You can also lease new 2020 Ford Fusions, Mustangs, EcoSports, Escapes, Edges, Explorers, the whole E-Crew, the F-150s, and the all-new Rangers, all under $200 a month. You got to get your ass into Zot Ford and Holly in the next day or two. And these are not watered-down, busted-out rides. This is Zot Ford's selection, full of fat, loaded whips and lots of all-wheel drive and 4x4 options. You know the routine. Get to Zot Ford and Holly. Tell the hottest sales staff in Oakland County that all and any of us sent you. And let the shower of low prices and excellent service begin to flow. Just a shower of low prices. It's amazing. The numbers will literally start hitting you in the head. Until then, peep their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And Dr. Yaldo is back, open again and doing what he's done for tens of thousands of Detroiters, giving them freedom from glasses, contacts, and reading glasses. You know, these LASIK surgery and multivocal implants generally, if you can just hang around for a while, they'll probably pay for themselves because, I mean, I spend a lot of money on glasses because I want to have nice glasses. I always get contacts. I'm not in the reading glasses yet, but I spend a lot of money on glasses. Most of Dr. Yaldo's LASIK patients get better than 20/20 vision. Sarah wrote, my contacts didn't work well with my astigmatism. This is the best experience ever. Amazing how well I see without anything on my eyes. And what a pain it was. COVID has changed much in our lives, but one thing you can change for the better is life-lasting, crisp, sharp vision. If you're 45 or over, ask about multifocal lens exchange. And remind them that you heard it here, too, because there's $1,500 off the Drew and Mike discount. Get a free evaluation with Dr. Yaldo, 800-398-EYES. And if it's not the right time, they'll tell you. They have to send people away sometimes. They don't want to, but there's a time you might want to go back. Or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com and tell them that Drew and Mike sent you. Did you run into the ads?
James says, healthcare is extremely important, and we need to make sure that we're not pulling the rug out from under people.
But John James supported a healthcare plan that would take away protections for 4.1 million Michiganders with pre-existing conditions. James's plan would leave 23 million Americans without health insurance.
No way.
Devastating during a pandemic. John James, wrong on healthcare, wrong for Michigan. SMP is responsible for content.
I love the talking in slow motion they show because people never look attractive that way.
The politician known for doing
nothing. Hey, wait, he's becoming invisible.
Nothing to prepare us for COVID. His responsibility. Nothing for our economy. Peters doesn't show up for work. Skipped 84% of small business hearings.
Whoa. Skipped.
Nothing to protect workers. Skipped 89% of hearings on China. Whoa. But Peters has done one thing. Got rich in public office. Doubled his wealth.
Oh.
Gary Peters. Invisible for Michigan.
I'm John James, and I approve this message.
Yeah, much more effective, Ed.
I love the term skipped. What's the meaning about... I'm going to skip that.
Wait a second.
Skips 90%.
Did you know it was followed by another anti-Peters ad?
Yes, so two in a row. Two in a row.
I'm John James, and I approve this message.
Oh, my God.
When we most needed help, Senator Gary Peters opposed Senate proposals extending unemployment.
What? How do you oppose him? He skipped work.
Abandoning Michigan families.
It's the 10% he shows up for.
Peters is standing with Washington liberals playing partisan games, leaving families to fend for themselves. We need those unemployment benefits. Small businesses need tax relief to survive. We need Senator Peters to act. Tell Senator Peters, help our small businesses and save jobs. Help Michigan recover.
It's Gary time!
You know, they showed him in a mask at the end. That's interesting. Did they think that would make him look soft?
Yeah, I'm sure. Because you notice John James was not wearing a mask at the end of his commercial.
And they show Peters playing partisan games.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not hard to say that about anybody. If they're in office, they're probably playing partisan games. And if your guy wins,
running,
he'll be playing partisan games.
If you're running, you're probably playing partisan games. Did you know that a local person made a song for the Joe Biden campaign?
A local person?
Yeah, do you want to hear it?
Yeah, let's who go. Did it?
Let's see. It's a song encouraging people to vote for Biden. Features 69 people singing in unison. Who all believe the song will help towards the presidential candidate.
69.
I really hate to burst their bubble. It's not going to help one
bit.
Wait,
this is for Joe Biden?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a creation of Detroit native Ann Arbor resident Carol Dunitz, who's looking for a way to encourage people to vote for Biden during the presidential election.
Oh boy.
Sorry.
This sounds really sappy.
It's not this isn't going to help. It's not going to help. Here's the song. It's called Counting on Joe. It's going to be a number one hit song.
A fight for the soul of our nation. Democracy's taken a blow. With crack lines right at its foundation.
Are they expecting to get airplay?
What's that?
Are they expecting to get airplay on this? I mean, who would listen to this? You mean people on social media would hear this and be inspired?
Maybe.
Is this a church choir?
They were originally planning on doing a tour, 2020 the Musical.
Sounds like a number one hit tune, all right.
Exactly.
2020 the Musical, which is a 20-song show that she produced. But when the pandemic hit, she started creating Democratic parodies, eventually decided to make a campaign song for Biden.
Okay.
We're counting on Joe. Biden's a leader with care.
Time out.
What?
Time out.
What?
If you're going to have a song called Counting on Joe, it needs to be a parody of Cotton Eye Joe.
Could be, hey, Joe, where are you going with that presidency in your hand?
This is really, really bad. I'm sure her heart's in the right spot.
Whose heart, soul, and mind do ring true. So we choose a man with experience to restore the red, white, and blue. Our president needs to have morals.
I think there's too many cooks in the kitchen on this song. There's too many voices.
Yeah.
Really? The seeds that he'll sow. A smart crop with lots of compassion.
Did someone send this to us?
Oh, no, it's a news story today.
Really? This is a news story?
Well, yeah.
A sound policy, national healing. Bank on Biden to say what it means. Diversity in Biden's cabinet. Reflecting the country.
Oh, boy. Here's another fun fact. The song is to the melody of that great Abraham Lincoln campaign song that no one knows.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on that part.
Counting you know, on Joe?
You yeah. know the
how many hits do you think it has on YouTube?
800?
Let's see. It's got 3,200 right now.
Well, if it got a news story, it's got to get some from that. Although, I don't know. I can't believe someone would go, oh, my God, I got to hear that.
So far, all the comments are great.
You know, the problem with, I just noticed in the song, talking about his experience. How is it that, I shouldn't even ask this question. I'm going to skip it, because I don't want the answer.
Already?
You know, Jerry Falwell today.
They're still going. Of course, everyone's singing on Zoom, too, so it's right on their face, like super close up.
I don't think...
You think it missed
think
the mark?
I think it's going to be a number one hit.
What?
Liberty University is now going to investigate Jerry Falwell.
Slow down.
Yeah, I know. He made two deals in the last 8 years. One of them was 8 years ago that were so hard to believe and so not in the interests of Liberty University that... not only is that disappointing that they didn't get on this sooner, and I guess what are you going to do? He's the boss. But $10 billion to go by to this phony, to this absolute fucking phony. I mean, when I think about the fact that this guy spoke at the Republican National Convention in 2016, and really a primetime slot, mm-hmm. How distressing is that?
Well, I think everybody out there should read the Larry Flint op-ed, I guess is the way to call it.
I read it. And
he hits the nail on the head with every single word.
I thought it was really cool. And I didn't know we should probably play the Cliff Notes Theater for the U.S. versus Larry Flint.
Yeah.
That was a great movie, great Cliff Notes, I thought.
I'll see ya.
I love the part. Yeah, I love it.
Larry!
I love it after the shooting where the voice of Larry Flint
changed. It did. It was crazy. It's so weird.
He never talked like that.
And Jim Bentley pointed out this is his favorite part.
You defamed me!
That's Falwell.
Well, Flint wrote, though, that, you know, even though they had this vicious battle, he became friends with Jerry Falwell Sr. And that...
Yeah, they exchanged Christmas cards, they did debates, they went around together, and they actually were friends.
And I like this line. He goes, I have to concede that his friendship with me proves that, for the most part, he was a practicing and essential tenet of his faith, forgiveness, and he was a sincere Christian. And then, boy, does he turn the tide on Jerry Falwell Jr.
Well, Jerry Falwell Jr. was not in league with his father. He's a piece of shit. He's a lying, stealing, phony, and he's not even sincere about his religion. You know, all this judgment he has for certain people and this claim that the reason I wanted this reveal was because I've never broken any of the tenets of employees, adult employees of Liberty. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Really? And all this traveling around in private jets. And by the way, this whole prosperity gospel really bothers me.
Flint, too, because that's another big part of the op-ed that he wrote.
I don't understand why was that ever accepted that certain people, you know, God loves people. Jim Baker always said that.
Yeah, God wants you to be rich.
God wants us to have gold-plated faucets. God wants us to have an air-conditioned doghouse for the dog. Who said that? You said that because it's really convenient that you feel that God said that because you are enriching yourself. And Jim Baker.
One of the great things about the Bible is that there's always a line or a passage in there.
You can parse it any way you want.
Yeah.
And Jim Baker, who Jessica Hahn said raped her, regardless of whether it was consensual or rape, it still was something he spent $250,000 to make go away so she would be quiet about it. That was one of the first non-disclosure things, I guess. Mm-hmm. And people found out about it, and then they found out that, he was having a good time in the sauna with some dudes, and he was stealing millions of dollars, and he was running a Ponzi scheme and all kinds of things. And now he's back on TV asking for money again. The prosperity gospel back in action. And, you know, Joel Osteen, who...
He got a PPP loan, too, for his silver, whatever that silver stuff he was selling that they told him to stop selling.
And these prayer donations and these seed donations, which is basically, and a lot of these guys have used that, not just Jim Baker. It's a fake investment. The church gets your money, and as far as your investment, well, you're on your own, and it may or may not, you know, pan out. But if it does, the church will happily take credit for it. And I don't know. I just find this so distasteful. Private jets all over the world, and we only have two private jets. I need a new one. The guy that was on Inside Edition. Who loved her eyes.
Yeah.
Loved Lisa's, God.
I'm blow!
Kenneth Copeland.
That blew away COVID. Remember that one?
He had a good justification for it, though.
What was that?
About why he needed all that,
he has to get the word of God out, and if he has to waste his time on commercial airlines, you know, like regular.
If I flew commercial, I'd have to stop 65% of what I'm doing.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, well, see, it's always convenient. There's always some God-related thing you can
say.
Which, frankly,
that explains why you need more money. And that's why I love this George Carlin thing, where Carlin, and if
they're
you find
wrong.
This slightly blasphemous, I apologize. Carlin is not real. He doesn't go too easy on religion, but I thought he really nailed it on this one piece.
But in the bullshit department, a businessman can't hold a candle to a clergyman. Because I got to tell you the truth, folks. I got to tell you the truth. When it comes to bullshit, big time, major league bullshit, you have to stand in awe. In awe of the all-time champion of false promises and exaggerated claims, religion. No contest. No contest. Religion easily has the greatest bullshit story ever told. Think about it. Religion has actually convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky who watches everything you do every minute of every day. And the invisible man has a special list of 10 things he does not want you to do. And if you do any of these 10 things, he has a special place full of fire and smoke and burning and torture and anguish where he will send you to live and suffer and burn and choke and scream and cry forever and ever till the end of time. But he loves you. He loves you, and he needs money. He always needs money. He's all powerful, all perfect, all knowing, and all wise. Somehow, just can't handle money. Religion takes in billions of dollars, they pay no taxes, and they always need a little more. Now, you talk about a good bullshit story. Holy shit. Thank you very much. But I want you to know something. This is sincere. I want you to know, when it comes to believing in God, I really tried. I really, really tried. I tried to believe that there is a God who created each of us in his own image and likeness, loves us very much, and keeps a close eye on things. I really tried to believe that, but I gotta tell you, the longer you live, the more you look around, the more you realize something is fucked up. Something is wrong here. War, disease, death, destruction, hunger, filth, poverty, torture, crime, corruption, and the ice capades. Something is definitely wrong. This is not good work. If this is the best God can do, I am not impressed. Results like these do not belong on the resume of a supreme being. This is the kind of shit you'd expect from an office temp with a bad attitude. And just between you and me, in any decently run universe, this guy would have been out on his all-powerful ass a long time ago. And by the way, I say this guy because I firmly believe, looking at these results, that if there is a God, it has to be a man. No woman could or would ever fuck things up like this. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. He just needs more money. There's just no end. There's no way. By the way,
that was intervention
me,
Al laughing.
Speaking of needing money, I see Michigan football needs $100 million.
Oh, God.
You know, what a shame because, you know, the alumni and the football, we don't do anything for the school. Our seat licenses are only, what, $1,500 just for the right to buy the tickets to the game, to watch the players that don't get paid. And
it's really sad they had to eliminate 21 positions from the athletic department, which I feel bad about. But then at the same time, this is kind of the business model you set up, which would be nonprofit. So you save nothing in times of need when you need $100 million.
And you said you'd
rather
every
spend
cent.
It on 21 positions, which apparently aren't that essential because you just blew them out. Or maybe a new building or a waterfall or a jacuzzi, wherever, because you have to spend the money. So I don't feel bad for them. I'm sorry.
Well, they have the revenue of a professional team, but they've got the free labor.
And they spend the money because they have to.
And do they really need the seat license money? No, they don't need it. They just can get it because in a cult like Michigan football or many of these football programs, people will do anything.
Well, so the question is, when everything returns to normal, are they going to reinstate those 21 jobs, or are they going to cut?
Yeah, they probably will.
Oh, they will.
They will. They've got to spend the money.
They're not going to cut the seat license, and maybe
no.
Cut that instead.
No. I love this idea too. That hey, we got it so hard. Can we just convert your seat license money to our money this year, even though there's no season or maybe no season?
3 phone calls, 5 emails, and I just got a professional card from them in the mail about another way to donate. But for the first time, I saw it was split, which I've never seen. I've never seen this, and maybe it doesn't matter to most people. But I've never seen an option to donate to either the Champions Fund, which is the athletic donation, or the College of LSNA, where I went, on the same thing. Usually they're separate. I've never seen that before.
Well, and then if you're not generous enough, if you're not tight enough in this cult to just convert your donation, your seat license to a season that may not exist, then can we just keep the money till next year and we'll make it next year's money instead of giving you the money back? I mean, what a pain in the ass for you to have your money back all this time.
Yeah.
And then surely we could just beg for the rest because you guys love the University of Michigan. And surely when you find us in a bind like this, you're going to empty your wallets and give us lots and lots of money to make up the difference because we got to pay Jim Harbaugh $8 million and we got to pay Juwan Howard. I mean, they've taken a 10% pay cut for God's sake.
Yep.
I mean, wouldn't it make sense for these coaches to say, you know what? I think I'll just pass.
Why don't they donate?
I'm not coaching a team this year, so I'm not going to take a salary. I'm just going to take a couple hundred grand.
Yeah. I'm Jim Harbaugh.
I'll tell you what, I'm just going to take $1 million, okay? So we can just pay our expensive lifestyle for the year, and next year I'll get my $8 million.
Do I get to write off the money they're making on the interest on my seat donation since I'm pushing it here forward?
I don't know about that. I sincerely doubt it.
What?
But I just love this. Can you believe this? We're going to lose $100 million this year. What are we going to do?
I have zero sympathy for any college athletics right now that are whining about the money.
But they've got how much money? $12 billion sitting out on the side?
The university does, yeah, and their endowment. But all universities
money
across the board. It's like, this is the setup you guys wanted, so you have to spend all your money. You can't keep any of it. So when you need the money, it's not there. So it's too bad. Sorry. And unfortunately, the people that pay the price are, you know, swimmers and golfers of certain programs because, you know, Nebraska cut 4 programs.
Stanford's cut 11.
Stanford had too many meals.
Too many what?
too many sports to begin with.
Well,
I'm just saying.
I don't. What sports do they have that other people don't have?
They had the most. They participated in the most sports. That's why they always won that stupid Governor's Cup that ABC would pretend like it mattered.
Oh,
you know where they assign points when it really all that matters is football and basketball.
Oh, they win in sports that nobody else plays.
Yeah, a lot of the Olympic sports.
Pretty smart.
I mean, kind of a dick. I really don't want to see any of those sports cut because, frankly, they shouldn't have to be cut.
No, there's plenty of money. There's so much money to go around. It's positively embarrassing that one season would put them behind $100 million.
Sure.
But they, they got to hire all this. We've got to have associate athletic director. Got to have the guy who keeps track of the facilities. Is the football stadium still there? Yeah. Oh, is the basketball arena still there?
Yeah.
I've got to get a few diversity people in here. I've got to get a few tutors. And we've got to have this guy and that guy and people, professional fundraisers they have employed too.
I wonder if any of the 21 people they allegedly let go work in.
One of them was one of the athletic director's best friends, by the way. He had to tell his best friend.
I saw Ward, yeah. No. Wait. In the story, I thought Ward was talking about. And I'll give him a little bit of credit here because I think he understands that they're in a different situation because he said there's tough times. I think his best friend worked for a business and he got let go. A real business.
Oh, I see.
That can hold profits.
I thought he had to let go his best friend. But, you know, by the way, whatever happened to.
I think if you had him off the record, Ward Manuel would go, yeah, it's kind of fucked up.
It's interesting that this whole thing about Dr. Anderson and this guy that blew the whistle, and when they sat on it for a year and a half and Ward did not report it to the person he was supposed to report it to, somehow that just went and nobody seems to care. Why is that? How did that just go?
Oh, I think people care. I mean, there's still lawsuits specifically about that.
But in terms of, you know, that's the sort of thing that you have to report, that you, it's like, no, I mean, it's happened so many times now. It seemed, when it happened, I remember there was speculation that, well, this is going to be bad news for him and for the president, whose provost has got this sexual assault thing. And now they sat on this guy's complaint for a year and a half, and the Detroit News busted him because the guy said they were just not going to do anything. So I went to Detroit News. They reported, and all of a sudden, oh, well, hey, we got to reach out to all our alumni and find out if anybody else is mixed up in this. And it turns out there's 400 people so far, and yet I just doesn't seem like anybody's going to suffer for this for some reason. It's crazy.
Well, it's still going on. I mean, it's not over.
I would think they would, you know, there was a time when
who do you want to suffer?
I don't really, personally, I don't care for anyone to suffer, but it just seems that that is the judgment that typically gets laid on these people, like at Michigan State when, I remember when the president, Lou Simon, was still there, and I thought, just quit. There's no way you're going to make it through this. And she just sort of decided to stick it out. She even showed up at the trial and apologized to the girls and, you know, who were sort of like, well, fuck you, too.
Well, I know you don't want to hear it, but those situations are different. He was still working there. I think the report was due today where they were going to name the 8 people that could have stopped Strample and Nassar.
Well, if you want to get that technical, then Bo Schembechler,
I agree.
I mean, we could take his statue down.
Go ahead.
But they're not going to.
Well, I think they should.
Well,
because he could have stopped it.
But I don't think you're going to see it happen. And the athletic director then. But I mean, to sit on this for a year and a half and then find out that, oh, there's 400 people. It's crazy. And if he hadn't gone to the Detroit News, we'd still not know about it. I don't know why. And I don't care. I mean, if they want to keep those guys, it doesn't bother me. But it just seems that
there have
been a lot of calls for people's resignations in circumstances like that. I mean, there's these scandals. There's got to be 5-6 schools now that have them. USC had one.
Yeah, Baylor, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan. I mean, you got to believe it happened at a lot of universities.
And I don't really think they're all that much different from each other. People protect the university. I don't know why they do, but they do.
I guess I was just really surprised with Michigan State, considering Lou Anne Simon sat on the NCAA board when all the Sandusky stuff was going on.
But if you look at Michigan, Michigan has all the schools before them. How could you not report it to the person?
Drew, I thoroughly agree with
that. And the same thing with Michigan State was after Penn State, wasn't it?
I agree with that. I think the punishment should fit the crime.
What do you mean?
Well, how I think Ward should be punished for not escalating it the way it should be escalated.
What do you mean by punished?
Well, I don't know what the proper punishment is. It's not going to stop what happened.
Well, all these other people
worse when it could have
all these
stopped
other people get blown out.
Well, if you want them fired, fine.
It's not up to me.
I don't think that would be the proper punishment.
Really?
Yeah.
For sitting on that for a year and a half?
For going to the lawyers instead of where he was supposed to go.
That's pretty. I mean, 400 people turns out, maybe more.
It's not a.
You're in the cult, bro.
Would you feel that way?
I can never say anything because that's all that will be said.
Well, it seems like you have a lot of understanding and compassion for Ward Manuel, but not so much for other people.
For who? Give me an.
Are you part of the cult? Are you in a trance right now?
I don't know.
Luann Simon, yeah, because she could have fucking stopped it.
Well, I don't really remember you having compassion for anyone who knew anything.
When it was going on? Yeah, I don't. I don't have compassion for Boak if he knew it was going on.
I don't understand. Why is it so much better after the fact to cover it up as opposed to while it's going on?
I'm not saying it's better. I think the punishment should fit the violation, which what Ward Manuel did wasn't necessarily a crime. It's a violation of standards.
I think you're parsing.
Okay, fine. Fire them all.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not up to me. Believe me, it doesn't. In fact, it does not matter in the least to me. But it just seems that when Michigan State was on the hook,
but see, you're the one making this into a school versus school thing.
No, I'm not. When Michigan State was on the hook, though, I think Michigan people thought this. You know, throw the book at them. And
yeah,
when it happens at Michigan,
still employed there.
What?
He was still employed there, and they knew, and they set up a way for Strample to report him, and nobody followed through on
it. It's different because they're just covering up a sexual assault that already happened, and they can't have any more of them. I don't understand why that's so much better.
Okay. I think if you can stop something, it's way...
Oh, so you're saying that they would have stopped it. They wouldn't have covered it up if it was still going on.
I don't know if they would have.
I don't know how you can say they would have because they covered it up.
Well, you keep bringing Bo up.
Well, Bo Schembechler, it doesn't matter. Whatever they do, Bo Schembechler, it doesn't matter. Well, Bo Schembechler's not alive, so who cares? I mean, Bo Schembechler's not going to know.
I think Ohio State is a more comparable thing to the Michigan situation.
Oh, the wrestling guy?
Yeah. And I don't think anybody necessarily should have been fired there. Now, that one gets a little messier.
I don't remember anybody
being
so compassionate about Ohio State when that was going on.
I was
on.
Just saying, I think it got a little messier because Jim Jordan.
Urban Meyer, when the wide receivers coach, I mean, there were protests at Michigan about that.
Yeah. He could have stopped it. He brought him with him.
Well, you can't say he could have stopped it. He could have fired him, but how could he stop it?
Okay. Well, from the perspective of protecting the university, he could have gotten rid of him.
Sometimes
losing your job makes that guy realize, makes Zach Smith realize that, oh, wow, I'm not as protected as I was. Maybe I can't commit crimes by beating the shit out of my wife.
Well,
I mean, if you think Urban Meyer just, you know, does what anybody else would do and want to give him a pass, that's fine.
I think in college football, people generally give people passes, at least one
pass.
That's
bullshit.
I know it is, but they do. Look at the guy who's the guy that, the running back, second down and nine. He came back and played, punched a girl in the face.
Got a new contract today, too.
Joe Mixon?
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah, he's having a nice pro career. Mm-hmm. Look at the guy, the Cleveland Browns guy that you know, said the girl called him the N-word, and turns out, oh, he beat her up in the hallway, and, you know, oh, and then he's so sorry. I mean, these guys have been playing.
Second down and nine.
Guys have been escaping these things for decades and decades. Get them on the field, whatever. But I really didn't want to get into all that. And I don't care if they're fired or not. It just seems really interesting that there's really no discussion of it whatsoever. And there's no discussion about Bo Schembechler. It's really just, I don't know, it's just kind of, my prediction is it'll be settled and it'll just quietly go away.
Well, I think there's a lot more distractions now. So maybe, sure, the timing helped them. It's funny talking to...
I don't understand. How can the timing help? It is what it is, what it is. I mean...
Well, you're talking about the coverage of it, right? Isn't that what you're talking about?
The coverage... Well, Michigan always gets friendly coverage around here. Of course they're going to have friendly coverage.
I'm just meaning the distraction of coronavirus, the election, the protests.
So nobody at Michigan knows that they can't take action because because of COVID-19?
Well, no.
Are
you talking about taking action or are you talking about the coverage of it?
Well, both, actually.
Okay, well.
But you can't tell me that whoever at Michigan would say, listen, these guys have to go because, or the alumni who would do it, which in a lot of cases is what it is, they can do whatever they want, whenever they want. Oh, my God, COVID, I can't even think about Dr. Anderson. I mean, that just sounds like another, you know, another good reason not to do anything.
Okay. I'm just talking about the coverage of it. And the fact of it is that it's not getting clicks on the Free Press website anytime they do stories on it.
Well, then don't cover it, obviously.
Well, they are covering it. I mean, they're
it gets a lot of comments. it's funny. In fact, I remember reading when it first happened, like, oh, this is great. We really got in front of this and did a great job. I mean, it's really strange. I mean, but I'm sure Michigan State people did
the
same thing.
Sure, that's all spin.
No, these are just fans, regular people saying that they're proud of the school for being in front of it and blah, 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 blah. That's why they can get $100 million out of, they can shake the alumni upside down and get $100 million out of them because
any school could.
The love for. A lot of schools. I don't know. $100 million is a lot of money.
It's a drop in the bucket for a lot of schools.
But Michigan has more revenue than virtually Texas, University of Texas, and maybe
Notre Dame
one or two
Ohio
others.
State, yeah.
Zot, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, and DealsND.com are at it again, selling cars like candy bars, piling them high, letting them fly, stacking them deep, selling them cheap, because emptying the lot while the weather's still hot is why the summer clearance event at Zot hits the spot. So let's kill the rhymes, because it's deal time. Go lease a new 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4 as low as $188 a month, or get a new 2020 loaded Jeep Compass lease at just $155 a month. How about a new 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk 4-wheel drive as low as $249 a month, and of course the Jeep Wrangler. Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram has the largest Wrangler inventory in the state, which isn't the biggest at the moment, but the good news is there's no better time to get to Zot and order your badass Wrangler exactly the way you want it. See all this and more at DealsInAD.com. And if you're a man facing divorce, you might want to call Adam. For nearly 30 years, Adam has been helping men just like you protect your rights and get the fair treatment in the court system you deserve. Don't take a chance with your future. Go with the best. Adam has the knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys that you want. Call Adam at 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM.
And now's the time to call. There's a story the other day, 34% rise in divorce rates during the pandemic.
Oh, you know what else?
Remind me to get a divorce.
Dr. Roche is busy, busy, busy.
All that build, all that backup.
Well, people are just, they've got time. They don't have to go to work. So, you know, if you want to recover from something, it's a great time to do it. Yeah. So they're crazy busy.
Especially
over there.
Especially people I haven't seen you in like 5 months, 6 months.
Yep. Social Security number scam from just a few hours ago for Brian.
What did he do?
They're going to arrest him. They're going to freeze his Social Security number and arrest him for some kind of misuse. I still don't understand
sounds quite vague.
What you can do with
your social... while I try to connect you.
Oh, nice hold music. That's a good start.
We haven't gotten through to these people in ages.
Just getting them quick. Speaking of scams, the feds just busted a Novi man in another COVID-19 PPP scam. $3 million!
What kind of business?
It was called Bless My Grind, is the name of the business. And he got 19 loan applications.
I'm sorry. No one is available to take your call. Thank you for calling. Goodbye.
Weird.
Let's try it again.
Yeah. But this guy had 19 loan applications, and they busted him because it's crazy. Each one had identical wage and employee information. Fucking idiot.
There's always, you know, it's the same way with, I saw there's a big protest today over the evictions.
About what?
Evictions. Oh. And
wait, did you see the, you're talking about the one in Detroit?
Yeah.
Did you see the protest?
I didn't see it.
I can count on one hand how many people were there.
Five. Oh, really?
Five. Yeah.
Well, it must get clicks then.
Sure.
Anyway, I know a couple people indirectly who are not paying their rent. Who can pay their rent? But you don't have to.
There's people you're hanging out with.
No, I said indirectly. They're not my friends.
What are you saying, Brandon?
I'm sorry. No one is available.
The fuck? That's weird. Let's try it before we quit. You want to try the Trump Unity Bridge guy?
Sure.
Sounds like a character.
Yeah, we've gotten some boner line messages from people who have seen that frequently because he is local.
Oh, I've seen it out and about.
I don't think I have.
I have not seen it. Let me see. I'll do a picture. It's Rob, right?
I want to see parks along Woodward every once in a while.
Rob.
Hello?
Hey, is this Rob?
Yeah.
Rob of the Trump Unity Bridge?
Yes.
Hey, Rob. It's the Drew and Mike Show.
Oh, hey. Let me get rid of this other call, okay? Hold on. Whoa, I'll call you back.
Okay, get rid of NBC for us.
Wow, yeah. We got priority. Some people are already saying he sounds a little bit like Count David Wimp, the way he answered the phone.
Hello, this is Rob. How are you doing?
Hey, Rob.
Not so much anymore.
Is this Drew or Mike?
It's Drew. Mike is no longer with us. Mike passed away in 2018.
Oh.
But, yes.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I know.
You remember me, don't you?
Rob, your name was really familiar. How do I know you? I sound like Rob Lowe.
We were at
when did you meet me?
And I worked with Griff with Kathy Sarconi, and I used to own the Barnstormer Banquet Center.
Oh, Barnstormer.
I own the Barnstormer.
Oh, wow.
And I own the Elite Suites. And we did cakes and delivered stuff to you guys.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Well, I heard you had a. Did you have a club in White Lake or somewhere?
I used to have the Grand Whitmore Lake, the Barnstormer Banquet Entertainment Center, and then I had the Grandy Ballroom back in the 80s.
Oh, you owned the Grandy?
Yes, that was me.
Now, why couldn't the Grandy come back?
The concept history repeats itself, and the Grandy could come back. But it has to have somebody go with the concept to make it work again. You know what I mean? And there's different eras of the Grandy, too. There's a big band era where they had, like, the Andrews Sisters, the big bands, and then they had the rock and roll, and then they had the Men of All Prohibition dances.
I mean, I'm more stuck on the Led Zeppelin, MC5, Iggy Pop,
right,
and, you know,
yeah.
the
right.
Russ Gibb era, and it seems like... If you owned the Grandy in the 80s, did you contact Russ Gibb, by the way? Because, you know, he was a great promoter.
We contacted him. He promoted. He said he didn't care if I used the name. He worked with us. But it was just all about me. I wanted to open a club that we would do the after hours. It would draw the people in. And China was a weird thing. Because my dad and my uncle told me they used to go to the Grandy Ballroom.
Everybody.
I was thinking Janis Joplin, or, you know, Purple Haze and all this stuff, and then we went. It was the Glenn Miller Orchestra. Well, what'd you guys do? Well, it was Prohibition. We put it great. We went there and danced.
Are they rebuilding the Trump Unity Bridge? Hey, Rob.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're rebuilding the Trump Unity Bridge in the background,
like right now.
Yeah.
We're driving down the road. We're both coming home, limping along, partially broken. The repairs to the vehicle, the trailer, and the axle. And the safety things are fixed, but the letters are still bent over. The word unity stayed up, which is very strong and powerful for America.
Yeah.
But the Trump and the signs, immigration, and all the things got bent over.
Oh, boy.
And we're coming home. We couldn't find the post anywhere. So we're driving back to Detroit. We left St. Louis this morning over by the Lake of the Ozarks. and we're driving straight through to Detroit, and then people are meeting us over at the Trump Unity Bridge gift shop on Beacon Street in Livonia.
Wait, there's a Trump Unity Bridge gift shop?
Yes.
What do you? Can you buy like miniature Trump Unity bridges?
You can buy like bobbleheads of Trump 2020 hats. We can make shirts for you. Trump 2020 buttons that we make right on site.
Does that money go to the reelection campaign, or does it go to Rob?
It goes completely 100% to the volunteers for the Trump Unity Bridge and us to stay on the road
Thank you.
To travel across the country. And it's the campaign. It's for the grassroots campaign, which you can look at my videos every day. We're doing
stuff. Great guy.
Playing around. Yeah.
Rob, here's what I'm amazed by. Okay, you're a business guy. You were involved in putting concerts together, and you had a club, and you did the Barnstormers, and all those things. How does a guy who has to make a living, obviously, turn his life into driving around with the Trump Unity Bridge behind you? Because I know you've been to 48 states. I mean, how do you make a living doing that?
Oh, I love that person.
Well, it's a good question. It's not about making a living. It's about saving our country. I've been using my money that I had saved and used up that, and I started getting really tight. I couldn't do it anymore, so I just told people, if you'd like to help, I can stay on the road. And God gives me everything I need when I need it, and when something goes wrong, people are there for me, and I'm sharing the people's message, and the people are contributing to keep us on the road. I'm not making a living. I'm making time to do this, to drive across the road. When we get a flat tire, either we fix it or it chips in. The donations are coming in. But the key thing is we're selling the Trump merchandise to help fund this, because as a businessman,
things
aren't free. So it's a combination of both donations. And I didn't want to be asking all the American people for everything. So I figured we'd start the business, and we started making our own. We buy hats. We have them embroidered here in Michigan. We buy shirts. We have them printed in Michigan. Yard signs are made in Ohio and shipped to us, made in USA. So we're getting as many things as we can to get the message out across America. And in fact,
I'm not really interested, Rob, not so much interested in the political part of it, but more in how important it is to you. I understand that, obviously, if you built the Unity Bridge. I was just more interested in how it all works, and it sounds like it's big business, and Trump is big business.
And, Rob, you've had the bridge or the trailer before it was the Trump Unity Bridge. What was it before? Did you have anything on it before it was a Trump thing?
You're going to love this one. It was a bridge going over the river. I got divorced. My wife got her house, and since my uncle was a auto worker, welder, union auto workers built the bridge that went over my river. So okay. When we got divorced, she took the house, I took the bridge. I put it in the garden at the Barnstormer Whitmore Lake, and I was going to have it be a Unity Bridge for people to get married on, because the Barnstormer did nightclub weddings, concerts, and so we'll make it a wedding bridge. So they repurposed it. And the city was pissed. They sued me. Came to court, and the judge said I had 48 hours to remove it. So I said, okay, I'm going to go make it a Unity Bridge and put wheels on it so I can tow it to your backyard, your lake, or garden, or whatever, and get married. People can unite in marriage. And the judge said, you're full of crap. You just told me I was full of baloney, and it wasn't going to happen. You're just making that up. And I said, well, you just remove it. So I removed it. I went and had done what I promised I was going to do. And then when the Pope said, Trump needs to be building bridges, not walls, and the media said, if Trump thinks he's going to get elected, he has to unite America. I just said, I woke up one morning. I said, I'm going to be the third Blues Brothers on a mission from God, inspired by Pope Francis, that I will go across America, unite people on positive messages, and help President Trump get elected.
That's a long story.
When I met Donald Trump, he found my gold bracelet in Vegas that I lost.
Thank you.
He was great.
Rob,
very nice thing.
It's a long story, kind of pretty well told, I guess. But as far as the Trump Unity Bridge being injured, obviously I hear people honking at you. I know some people are excited when they see the Trump Unity Bridge. Some people probably not so excited. But somebody stole the Trump Unity Bridge and just drove off with it and crashed it on purpose?
Pretty much. We were at the hotel checking in around midnight in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Val and Jason were handing out stickers to people that were around in the hotel that came up when we pulled in.
It's going to be another long story, I think.
Watch the car. No, it'll be short. Watch the store.
Okay, thanks.
And they said it was stolen. And then while I was paying for the rooms, they came screaming and somebody stole the bridge. He drove through the hotel parking lot in the trees and bushes and got in a high-speed chase with the police, and they caught him a few miles away.
Wow.
Is it possible it wasn't malicious and the guy just couldn't drive a big bridge like that? Because it's got to be hard to drive that thing, right?
I don't know. I've driven it over 280,000 miles across America.
Hey, Rob, what's your favorite state? You probably hadn't been around so many places before this, I would imagine. What's your favorite state that you've driven the Trump Unity Bridge through?
Well, there's spots in states, but Florida and Naples was amazing. California was wonderful. Everywhere we went, 1,000 people showed up at every spot, or 1,000 or more. It was beautiful. And but like driving through the country, the whole country is beautiful. And the saddening part of the whole trip was last year we drove through like Minneapolis, Milwaukee, Madison, Wisconsin, Denver, and all the cities were normal. And today they were all destroyed, looking like ghettos. This year it was disgusting. I didn't even want to admit I was an American citizen. They're all trash, spray painted, boarded up.
Can the Trump Unity Bridge possibly help unify these people and bring us together and re-beautify these places?
I believe they can, because when we go through the town, I was angry with a passion, yet scolding the people that they need to stand up and take their community back, because look what's happening with the people they've elected in office. They're letting this happen. And people came out of tents and were clapping in the street. Some were cussing and swearing, but others were stamping them, and they're like, yeah, give me the fist up. You give me the thumbs up that they want to take their cities back. And going to California, 18 stops.
I wouldn't think California would be that receptive to the Trump Unity Bridge. Am I wrong?
I agree with you. I was nervous, but I mean, when we went to Hunger, there was about 1,000 people there, and we saw the Black Lives Matter throwing stones and bricks at the police and hitting them over the heads with poles, hitting the cops with poles, and tear gas going back and forth. It was right in front of us. Nobody reported none of that. We saw it happening live. That was the only violent part we saw in California. And then,
hey, Rob, have any projectiles been thrown at the Trump Unity Bridge?
Yeah, bottled waters. I found a loaf of Italian bread on it once. Every once in a while, we get some chicken wings or a hamburger. There's somebody driving down the road, and I say, that's helping the economy. You know, they're going to have to go buy more food to eat.
Hey, there's a fan. So, now, Rob, where was the worst reception for the Trump Unity Bridge where you're like, oh, boy, this is not Trump country?
It was at the Straight Pride Parade in Boston.
Boston?
They had about
Straight Pride.
Oh, Straight Pride. Straight Pride? I would think the Trump Unity Bridge would do well at the Straight Pride.
Oh, there were a lot of protesters.
Well, the Straight Pride people liked it, but they had a couple thousand Antifa there, and a couple thousand Antifa came out. And when we got to the end of the parade route, there was about 1,200 cops. If you Google Trump Unity Bridge Straight Pride Parade aerial, Boston, and you'll see the brigades, the police there protecting the event. And it was totally, totally the most scariest. Even though all the police were there, I was nervous. I was the only float that showed up for the parade. There was hundreds of walking.
Hundreds
of people walking, carrying flags and stuff. But there was another float that broke down before it got in, and it was just very nervous because when we got to the end, we had all the signs up, Trump 2020, and we were about 30 foot tall with the flags up there, and there was wires. We had to stop in the middle of a crowd, and there was thousands of people coming at the end of the parade. The mirror.
Man, I can't.
I didn't do that.
Climbing.
Oh, there he is.
From the letters,
I didn't play that drop either.
Oh, we lost you there for just a second there.
Blame me.
I got to tell you, I cannot imagine what an adventure it would be to, but I mean, with the length of these stories, I believe this would be a really long book to write about the Trump Unity Bridge and all the places you've been. Oh, my God. So you're going to come home? You're going to make it home tonight?
I'll be home tonight. I'm going to do laundry, shower, shave, get up in the morning, work on the float, and get on the road. We're going to Bad Axe, Michigan tomorrow. And then Bad Axe up in the Thumb.
Oh, you'll have a good reception there?
Yeah, we got to go from there to Hale, Michigan, the Corky's Party Store. We're spend the night right across the street from Uncle Cracker's old restaurant and bar there, the Long Lake Lounge and Bar. And then we're going to Old Lake for the weekend.
What city, if you had to say one city is Trump country that you've been with in the Trump Unity Bridge, what city would that be? Or town?
I would have to say the I got a lot of love in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I get love everywhere, but Michigan, St. Ignace, Iron Mountain, Escanaba, the people up there love it. And we were there for we went there for a couple hour pit stop. We had to spend the night on two separate occasions because thousands of people came over. The UP of Michigan is, I think, solid and strong, and they love our country and love our president, and they love America first. And then Naples, Florida was amazing. And then in California, I say San Juan Capistrano and San Clemente Pier and Dana Point were amazing. Thousands of people were there waiting for us. And these were like, we just were making a pit stop. Like, we're here at 8, here at 9, here at 10. At 10 o'clock, we're at Dana Point, and there's 1,000 people there.
Rob, we have breaking news.
What is in Bad Axe? Why are you going to Bad Axe?
Marcus, do you want to tell them the breaking news
first?
Well,
I'm just curious, like, why at Bad Axe? Because I see the Franklin Inn Motor Lodge, you know, has you there from 3 to 7. Is it a paid appearance?
No, it's because every person, every city, big or small in America, is important to me. Their vote is important. And a lot of the political organizations only hit the big cities. They say, we'll just go for the big stuff. And I believe that everybody's important. That's why I did a complete tour of the Upper Peninsula on multiple occasions. That's why we're going back. And all these small towns, people don't realize, everybody vacations there in their summer homes. They go fishing,
sure,
camping, boating. And they come from all over
the
country.
No, I understand.
Sounds like Rob's running for president.
Are you getting, I mean, is it like a paid, because the way it's promoted on the Franklin and Motor Lodge, you know, it says Trump Unity Bridge, September 2nd, 3 to 7 p.m. It's almost like you're appearing.
Yeah, they're giving you an appearance fee.
They called me and asked me to come there like back in July. We've been working on this since beginning of July.
But Rob,
it cost them?
Isn't the Trump Unity Bridge a draw for them? I mean, it's a lot of people show up, maybe spend a few bucks there. You know.
Absolutely.
Well, sure. Could they support an appearance fee, maybe? I don't know. Just saying.
I mean, serious question.
I would demand an appearance fee.
There's no appearance fee. The appearance fee is if you'd like to donate something, we'll appreciate you donate as much as you'd like.
Oh.
But we'll be there for the American people.
I gotcha.
Okay. Well, probably a lot of people will donate.
Heads up for the silent solidarity against authoritarianism, because they're going to have a semi-silent protest from 4 to 6 while you're there.
At least it's silent.
Semi.
Wonderful. They'll bring more attention to my cause.
Exactly.
Well, thank you for coming.
Exactly. No,
I appreciate it.
You know,
but
how the game works.
What is there something you can do with the Trump Unity Bridge that will unify the silent protest people with the Trump people? Is the Unity Bridge creating unity? Because it seems like maybe not always does it do that.
Well, what happens is when we give a
people
speech,
protest the Trump Unity Bridge.
Nothing
else going on.
A lot of people listen, and when they listen, they come over and ask questions. When they talk to us, we might not get them all, but we usually get a handful that come over and talk. And then when they leave, we're shaking hands. We find common ground because there's so much more common. And one thing I'm going to say is,
do you offer them hand sanitizer after you shake their hands?
Sometimes, yeah.
Do you wear a mask?
Sometimes.
Do you feel like COVID's overblown, Rob?
I believe that, yes, I do. I believe that the COVID virus is real. And I believe that the mask is political. When you look at the statistics that came back, 96% of the people that died from COVID had underlying conditions that were severe. So less than 4% of the people that died actually from the COVID virus. But we all have to be careful. We all have to wear masks if we have coughs and things like that. We do need to wash our hands. But I was washing my hands before the COVID virus. So I was okay. I always took safety.
I'm glad to hear that, Rob. Well, you had a nightclub, so you know about washing hands. But
yeah.
Do you ever feel like, you know, when there's protesters at the Trump Unity Bridge, do you ever feel like saying, you're protesting the Trump Unity Bridge? What are you doing? What's wrong with you? I mean, who protests our Unity Bridge?
Uneducated people. You know, and that's what we're up to do is educate them. And I give them common sense stuff that they can relate to. I say, listen here, I'm from Detroit. You're from Michigan. Look what happened. When Obama was president, they said, give up your jobs, give up your pay. We all have to unite and work together to give everything up. And then he said, Trump's never going to bring those jobs back unless he has a magic wand. What does he think? He's got a magic wand, being sarcastic. Well, you know what? Trump brought those jobs back You guys lived through it. I lived through it. And you know what? They're working. They said, we're going on strike. We want everything back we gave during the Obama years. And they got it back. And now they're working 7 days a week, three shifts a day, even during the coronavirus. And Trump's leadership got them to build ventilators and materials and masks to keep going and,
well, it's
and
like
make
magic.
America safe.
Yeah, I, by the way, I see...
What the hell are you talking
about? I see the Statue of Liberty is on the Trump Unity Bridge. It looks like it's after the accident there. Boy, that bridge got beat up pretty good there. But you do have the Statue of Liberty on there?
It's standing solid. It's solid steel. It's a cast steel unit. And we're going to fix her arm and her lobe tonight. I rewired the electrical on it so the light works again. we just got to make everything work. America's, think about this for a minute. The coronavirus is there. So how do we fix the coronavirus? We establish that it's a problem. We take safety measures, figure out how to fix it, and then we fix it. We diagnose it,
boom,
we fix it. Same thing with America. We find out what the problems are, we expose them. President Trump and Hillary Clinton exposed America, so we know what the problem is. Now we need to unite on positive messages and fix our country.
Yeah, I don't think there's been that many positive messages, unfortunately, so maybe you can work on that. But how excited would you be if Trump won the election and it turns out that some of those votes you scoured up with the Trump Unity Bridge were the difference maker? Do you think is it possible that could happen? Because I think it is.
I wholeheartedly believe it's possible, and I'd be proud and honored be acknowledged for that. I'm just doing my part. Everything it takes is we need to get everybody out to vote. We need everybody to see. Look at the cities that are being destroyed that are run by Democrat leadership. And
okay,
I
don't really want to get into all that stuff, but is there any talk of a Biden Unity Bridge, maybe as a competitor, just to kind of even the score? Because if you're going to tip the balance to Trump, I would think there'd be a Biden Unity Bridge.
Well, we didn't see one for Hillary. We didn't see one for Biden. What is there to unite on behind Biden? We don't see nothing. There's nothing there.
Oh, okay. So you can't, I guess you couldn't have one then.
Not possible. I don't even know why he's running.
Hey, Rob, listen, have fun with your Trump Unity Bridge. And I know you're having a ball out there and you're doing all this traveling, and it's got to be a crazy life. You're like the political circus traversing 48 states. Is there any chance of you getting to Hawaii or Alaska?
Absolutely. If the Drew and Mike show puts together a Trump Unity cruise, we can put the Unity Bridge on the Lido deck and have everybody have a patriotic vacation to Hawaii. And we could possibly do a Trump train from Detroit to Alaska and put the Unity Bridge on a train and have all the passenger cars full of Trump supporters.
Well, we're gonna have to establish a new department for that. But, Rob, listen, thanks for your time. It's crazy, and I'm glad that you're getting your Unity Bridge put back together and having yourself a wonderful fall out there doing what you like to do. And again, appreciate your time.
And thank you guys for doing your part. Let people in America look at both sides of the story, because that's one of the things that will help us unite, is getting the message out there and letting people talk about it and hear things. You know, and some of them are fun, some are sarcastic, but in the whole heart of things, you guys are amazing for bringing this on. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hey, Rob, have a safe ride, okay? Be careful.
Yeah, be safe.
All right.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Buddy.
Right,
we'll see you.
Take care.
There's Rob and the Trump Unity.
Oh, my God, you ever stop talking?
That's a I swear, if you enter any element of politics, even the Trump Unity Bridge, people are going to talk longer than you want them to.
Now,
there's
this is
the way around it.
Mainly, he does have a GoFundMe up right now to fix it. I think his goal is 20,000, and I think he's at like 2,000 or 3,000.
That's all?
So he's got a little bit of ways to go. However, he did originally have a GoFundMe for the 2017 to 2020 Trump Unity Bridge Tour. There was a $50,000 goal, and he raised $69,000 on GoFundMe with that. So that's really helped him, I'd say, with some gasoline. And then the latest is, I actually found the video of when they found the Trump
Biden
Unity
had better
Bridge
get a Unity Bridge. He better get a Unity Bridge going. This could cost him the election.
This is when they found it in Tulsa after it was stolen.
Well, here she is. They left her under an overpass for the night. Bodily fluid and hair samples. We determined that a bunch of old homeless dudes had an orgy in the car. You know what that's called when they do that in there? It's called a soup kitchen. It's pretty rough stuff. Not long after that, a mama raccoon came along and gave birth on the floor. Oh. Placenta blew out all over the back window there. Jesus. Yeah, and then to top it all off, some joker comes along. takes himself a nifty little dump in the driver's seat. This is what I would call a spite shit. Believe me, everybody that was in on this orgy was more than willing. In fact, they even left you a note here. Thanks for the F-Shack. Love Dirty Mike and the boys.
Oh, boy.
I got to say, well, first off.
They strike again.
First off, robstrumpshop.com is his site if you want to buy any other things to support him. But I really
can't imagine how many things must be in that shop.
I mean, it's all the usual fare, except there is an autographed Ted Nugent hat for $65.
Hey.
But I really feel like he underplayed the stealing of the Trump Unity Bridge, because it wasn't like the guy just got it and purposely crashed it. He drove across people's yards because it was a high-speed police chase because he called 911 on it, which, once again, good use of resources. And it did.
Well, it's a stolen Trump Unity Bridge. No, what are you going to do?
Well, I think it's pretty easy to find it. Where's the guy going to go with it?
Well, but you got to start the chase.
But it ended up jackknifing.
Oh.
Because it's that big.
Oh, that's ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is big. It's huge.
this thing was
in his backyard.
I'm trying to find that story again, too. But because, I guess it went over.
And then it was at his club?
Yards and actually jumped and got air.
Oh, wow.
Let's see if I can find that part. I don't know.
I have audio of that, too, when it crashed.
When it jumped. I mean, that's an exciting thing.
So people got married on this bridge.
Yeah. I've known people that had events at Barnstormers.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Barnstormers was huge.
Unfortunately, that's not the last you're going to hear.
Driving this thing around the country. It's
not
bizarre.
It's not the last you're going to hear of Rob, because he does pop up on the boner line today.
He does?
Oh, cool.
Well, people called in on him. Not Rob himself.
About him. Okay.
And that whole thing about the CDC, the COVID, and the 6% death.
That was great news from Rob.
That's such bullshit, though.
Well, it certainly is an interesting piece of data. And in like every piece of data, it's being used in a way that the people who can use it would like to use it.
They looked at
it. And when the opposite information comes out, it will be used for those people.
All it is
on the opposite end.
They looked at death certificates, and only 6%, it was the only thing mentioned. So things could have been omitted. Or not at all. But on the death certificate, there were only 6% said just COVID-19, which is kind of what people knew anyway, that you have to have underlying conditions for it to be really bad.
Well, but I don't think
it's just funny.
Sometimes
it's funny to me that
people, way, though. Huh? Sometimes I don't think we act that way. We act like everyone is in danger, and the fact is that people who are
the flip side of that is excess deaths, and nobody ever talks about that either. So,
But could it be that people are, you know, the number of people who are dying who are over 75 years old is a huge percentage of the number of people who have died of COVID-19. So
Sure. Is
it possible that they
are those people just expendable?
We're closing in on death. I don't know.
Well,
anybody who lost somebody to COVID-19 is crushed, whether they had
exactly
2 years to live or 2 decades to live. But, you know, if you have underlying conditions, there's a lot of things that can kill you. The flu could kill you.
Sure.
I was going to get my flu shot today, by the way, and they said it would be 20 minutes, and I decided that I would wait till my next visit.
Big protests in Boston about the flu shot, because they said it is mandatory for any kid going back to in-person learning.
Oh, boy.
And there's a big protest because, you know, you don't tell people.
Police state.
Well, they don't have to live in Massachusetts. They don't have to go to in-person schooling either.
Yeah, I saw, I forgot what the number was. It's a large number of people who do not want to get flu shots.
Why?
I don't know. I honestly have no idea.
I don't understand that.
Well,
I don't know why people want to get the flu.
I'm sure there's a certain number of people who die from flu shots. What is it, 10 people a year or 1,000 people? I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I'm sure that there's some reason these people think they can't have a flu shot.
I know people who say that the last time I got a flu shot, I got sick, so I don't do a flu shot anymore. And that's just the way they go. They don't want to get poked. They're not, and like I said earlier, they're not necessarily anti-vax. They just don't like the flu shot itself. They still vaccinate their children and stuff.
They understand
like
now, whatever.
Yeah, I hate to pretend I'm an expert on any of this stuff. All I know is I'm getting a flu shot because I don't want to get the flu, and I'm not afraid of the flu shot. If somebody doesn't want to get it, then that's up to them. If they want to fight or they want to send their kids back to school or they want to educate them at home because they don't get a flu shot, then that's up to them, too.
Exactly.
I mean, I could give advice if they want it, but I don't think they do. So there. Hey, did anybody see the four-foot snake?
Well, that's good because I'm sure they wouldn't take your advice anyway.
Well, it's what I said. Anybody see the four-foot snake that got pulled out of this woman's throat?
What? No.
She fell asleep, and a four-foot snake went in her open mouth and went all the way inside her. And if you go on TMZ, you can see them pulling this snake out of her throat.
Is this in India or China?
No.
Oh, really?
I don't think so.
It's like an India-China thing.
Yeah, it does sound like it, but I don't think it is.
Was somebody playing like the kazoo, like, as it rose? Oh!
I will tell you this. The people that pull it out are grossed out big time. They're not very happy to be involved in this. Look at that fucking thing.
Oh, it's in Russia.
Yeah, let's see these two girls respond. Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Why couldn't that lady just shit it out?
By the way, yeah, she probably could have. I saw this movie, Sputnik.
Oh, have you seen Sputnik? I've heard about it, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Rotten Tomato numbers were good enough that I said, okay, I'll check this out. And it's about this space trip and something comes home with the space crew.
Yeah. Those are great. I love those kind of movies.
And one of the astronauts is dead when he gets back because this thing just took him apart. And the other guy is kind of different.
Oh, sweet.
And
I want to watch it right now.
Pretty soon he starts barfing up this thing.
Cool.
It just
sounds like Alien.
It's a lot scarier than that thing you just saw that girl getting pulled out
of. What do you think its Rotten Tomato numbers are?
Well, I looked at him, so I don't want to say because I think I already saw him.
88%.
Yeah, it was. I knew. It was
I'm going to watch this immediately. Where was it?
It was. It was on Netflix, I think.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, just search on it. It was good. I enjoyed it. I mean, it's not the best movie, but if you want a kind of a scary fare.
Due to her controversial methods, young Dr. Tatiana Yurinev.
It's in Russia.
Is on the precipice of losing her medical license. Her career may not be over, though. She's recruited by the military, Tatiana is brought to a secure science research facility to assist in a very special case, that of Konstantin Sergeyevich
Morales,
a cosmonaut who suffered a mysterious space accident. I gotta tell you, space accidents never turn out good. And he's returned to Earth with a unique condition. There's something living inside him that shows itself late at night. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, this thing has a sense of timing.
What kind of alien? Oh, it's pretty nice. A nocturnal alien.
It's pretty gross. I was not a fan of the alien.
What? Oh, you get to see it too?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
See it.
I'm going to spoil it. I want to look. Oh, he looks freaky.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy.
Hey, that thing's inside that guy? He got a lot of eyeballs.
I know. I thought it was kind of like that thing must have made room for itself somehow.
That's my favorite thing. Brandon, have you been watching Lovecraft Country at all?
No, but I want to. You're what, two or three episodes deep so far?
Three deep. It's really weird, and it's kind of hard to follow. But, man, you get to see the monsters, which I think is always cool. I hate movies when you don't get to see the monster.
Or they get like a total.
Oh, you mean like
three actual minutes?
Wait, what's the movie?
Cloverfield.
Yeah, Cloverfield.
I hate that.
I love the movie because you can freeze on the monster. I've watched that movie like eight times. I love Cloverfield. It's one of my favorite movies. And what's his name? The comedian is in it.
Yeah,
he's the one holding the camera.
T.J. Miller.
T.J. He's awesome. He's hilarious. When you realize it's him, it really gets funny. At first, you're like, "Who is this dope holding the camera?"
It's a stupid looking monster, though.
It's pretty awesome, though. That thing is pretty, pretty badass.
Really? It kind of just looks like a vampire bat.
I don't know why. I really dug that movie. I love Cloverfield. I don't know why. I could watch it right now.
Mm.
And poor Rob, you know, who loses his brother, and he's in love with that girl, and she's trapped, and they have to go to the part of town. They have to actually go by Cloverfield.
Based on a true story.
To get her.
Oh, I want to say.
Oh, sounds like a great one.
And it's all recorded on the cassette, which is what you're watching. You're watching the video cassette that TJ was recording.
Usually I have
no. And those spiders attack that girl in the little underground area when they're in the subway. Those giant spiders attack her. And she's so gross. I mean, she's literally become so gross when she's attacked that when they run into the army people who are there, they have a triage set up, and they go, oh, she doesn't look so good. And all of a sudden she opens her eyes and it's all bloody, which is a sign.
Sweet.
And they go, yeah, let's take a look at her. And they take her by the set and they just kill her right away. They just shoot her in the head. And they're like, what?
What else are you going to do?
I know. No, I think it was a good call. She was so gross.
Regarding Lovecraft Country, I usually have very little trouble separating like actors and their personal life, or separating the art from the artist, that kind of thing.
Is this a Smollett?
I gotta tell you, I keep looking at her and it drives me nuts that Jesse Smollett is her brother. She's smoking hot and she's really good, but all I think of is Jesse Smollett as she's in the show.
Did you know her calling Kim Fox every 5 minutes?
Is that the one sister that was?
I think it was
Journey, J-U-R-N-E-E.
Probably.
Yeah. She was also in the Joker movie, not Joker, but the Harley Quinn movie, Birds of Prey. I don't know if anybody's seen that. It's a pretty good
movie. I
didn't
see that yet.
It's not that good. But it's weird watching it going, oh, yeah, that's just Smollett.
Because you mentioned Smollett, it reminded me, at the RNC the other night, they were chasing down Rand Paul and all these people leaving. John James, I think, was chased down. Was it John James? No, not John James. It was a black congressman, and these people are just screaming at them, it's just like the diners when the people were eating on the patio and they would just go up and start screaming at them. And there was a gay couple, or a Republican gay couple, that also was at the RNC. And apparently this BLM group just descended on them and absolutely berated them. And I don't think they had police escorts. And anyway, people were really upset about it because there was kind of a ho-hum, oh, yeah, big deal, whatever. And, as opposed to Jesse Smollett, who gets, attacked by these two people and the whole world's turned upside down until it turned out to be bullshit. And here's video of this gay couple being absolutely harangued by this group of, and, it's a threatening-looking group, and they don't look like they're, you really can't tell what's going to happen. It just looks terribly aggressive.
And then at the same time, do you know who? And it plays right into their hands. You know Jacob Wall and that Jack Berkman guy? You might know them from that HBO documentary about fake news and the whole Pizzagate thing.
Oh, yeah, those guys.
Two guys that had the press conference. Yeah. So they were outside. This was on the circus. They were outside of the White House during the RNC when the protests were going on. And they just show up with their megaphones. And they're like, it is time for you to leave. Everybody needs to part. And just like flies to honey. Just the protesters come right at them to yell at them.
And they got their cameras.
And they videotape it. Of course. Then they put it on their YouTube to show how horrible these people are. And this is funny. This is on Jacob Wall's YouTube.
Time for everyone to go. Time for everyone to return home.
I mean, they're just shit starters.
Jacob Wall and Jack Berkman from Project 1599 telling everyone it's time to go.
And what a surprise. Next thing you know, people just come up and start yelling at them, which just solves nothing.
President Trump is doing his speech. It's very disrespectful to be out here.
So it always starts with people looking at him like, who are these guys? And then next thing you know, here comes a guy with a camera filming them. So it's just become people on camera yelling at other people on camera to yell at other people on camera to fit their own narratives. It's quite exhausting. So exhausting, Drew just left, just bolted. He apparently got a very important phone call. But that's good. I got a lot of tabloid stuff we can go through.
Well, I wanted to tell my little tale, too.
Oh, yeah, but you got to wait for him to be back. I feel like you've told us too much already.
I told you. I didn't really tell him too much, but I just had a shit day.
Okay, here's something up our alley. I want you to save that for when Drew's back.
All right.
Here's something up your alley. Ready? Bella Thorne has apologized.
She's apologized for making money?
For screwing over fans who thought she was going to be nude.
Well,
which we kind of predicted, right?
But the thing is, I'm not 100% sure that OnlyFans is like you must be nude, you must have sex on there, you must do porn. I didn't think that that was a precursor. I just thought that it was expected because the majority of the people who make a lot of money on OnlyFans do that type
of
stuff.
She apologized to other OnlyFans users, you know, that use it to make money, because a lot of people feel like, hey, she just waltzed in here and made $2 million, which, you know, to me, that's kind of fair market. That's how a free market works, and that's a fair market value, so big deal. But she wrote, you know, how she's just trying to remove the stigma behind sex and sex work, and she feels like she did worse. And she says, different times in her career, she was trying to normalize sex work, but notes that it's often blown up in my face like it did this time. I'm a mainstream face, and when you have a voice, a platform, you try to use it to help others and advocate for something bigger than yourself. Again, in this process, I hurt you, and for that, I'm truly sorry. And I just want to point out that these are just people, you know, being nude and doing nude things, and that's why she apologized.
I mean, how mainstream is... I mean, she's fading fast. I mean, she was a Disney star at the same time as, like, Zendaya.
Yeah.
And look at the stark contrast between those two careers. One of them is a sweetheart in Hollywood who everybody loves.
Yeah.
And she's getting big roles. And the other one... You know, she's just been tabloid fodder for the most part in the last few years. She's not getting a lot of big roles whatsoever. She's kind of dabbling in adult themes, kind of going the route of, you know, kind of a Farrah Abraham in a sense. Yeah. But she's a really pretty girl, but it just seems like...
She's not going to go anywhere because she'll keep making, you know, risque type movies and stuff because she can bank... I think she can bankroll a lot of them or get people to bankroll them. And also in the world of apologies, David Byrne has apologized. Did you know that?
To the talking heads?
No, he's apologized for wearing blackface.
David Byrne? Did he wear blackface?
He wore blackface in Stop Making Sense, the documentary.
I don't remember that at all.
He didn't either until people reminded him. In a series of tweets, he said a journalist recently brought up the video in Stop Making Sense where he wore black and brown face. And he said, to watch myself in various characters, including black and brown face, I acknowledge was a major mistake in judgment. That showed a lack of real understanding.
Well, it's too bad he wasn't in Megyn Kelly's class because they would have told him.
There's the picture of him.
At the time.
But it's weird. Nobody knew he was in blackface except for this one journalist, and now everybody knows because he apologized.
Wait, that's the journalist, isn't it?
No, it's David Byrne.
That's David Byrne?
Yeah, totally looks like David Byrne with blackface and an afro.
What the... God, that's weird. He doesn't look like David Byrne at all. You know, this Joe Rogan story is interesting. He just started on Spotify. You know, he got this $100 million deal. And I think it was suggested that, oh, this is great. He's on Spotify. He doesn't have to deal with YouTube and all of YouTube's censorship issues. And he lands on Spotify, did his first show. 5 hours, by the way.
Yeah.
And people are just losing it because there's deleted material in the archives. All the Alex Jones shows are gone. Milo Yiannopoulos. By the way, whatever happened to that guy? Where's he?
He was canceled.
Joey Diaz, Chris D'Elia. I mean, those are comedian guys.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Charles C. Johnson? I don't even know who. I don't know who that is. And Gavin McInnes. I assume these are right wing people.
Yeah, Charles C. Johnson is an activist, and he is. Considered an American far-right political activist.
So, obviously, Spotify, being a large company, you know, is responsive to shareholders and things like that. There's certain things they don't want on their platform. And I would guess that Alex Jones is one of them. And
sure.
You know...
Rogan could have stood up to them!
Yeah, people were angry at Joe Rogan.
Does to you.
He sold out!
So what?
Yeah! Well,
is Alex Jones really critical to Joe Rogan's successful show?
Archive? No. I think the real question would be, is he allowed to have them on now going forward?
I have to be honest. Yeah. I don't know why. Why does he have Alex Jones? I could see having him on once, maybe.
Well, that's one
yeah,
thing
I could
like.
See having him on once, for sure.
Rogan will talk to anybody for the most part.
But I can't see. See, I get the impression that he and Alex Jones were friends at one time, or they were...
Well,
cohorts of some sort.
I think he was willing to listen to some of the bullshit that Jones spews.
But I just feel like Alex Jones jumped the shark. And I don't mean just jumped the shark. I mean, he really... I have zero interest in him or really zero interest in seeing him succeed because of what he did. Now
that's the global elitists want it, Drew. You're letting him win.
Whatever he wants to do is fine with me. I just don't want any part of it. I would interview...
That's just a tactic, folks.
I'd be happy to interview him once because I'd be intrigued to ask him some questions. I'm sure he has all the answers to all the questions, so it probably would go nowhere.
Very evasive, yeah.
But as far as, you know, having anything to do with promoting him on a continuing basis, I just don't like what he does. The thing with the parents in...
I'm ready!
Connecticut.
Sandy Hook, yeah. Newtown.
I just feel like it's so unforgivable. He's never really apologized for it. Has he?
Nope.
I don't know how you could... I just would have a hard time sleeping. He's an interesting guy in his own way, but...
Is he that interesting?
Yeah, in a weird way.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not fascinated with him. I find there's a lot of people, other people I find much more interesting. But
I'm fascinated in how he built that empire.
Yeah, it is. It is interesting. I mean, I have to give him credit for something.
Sure. But I also think he's totally full of shit.
Yeah, so. He's totally full
of
shit.
How dare you?
And I don't, half the time, I don't even know if he means anything, to be honest.
Nope.
I know they staged those terror attacks.
Yeah, if everything's a conspiracy by the global elitist, then nothing is. You know?
I will eat you.
Everything's terrible.
It's really funny when people get into all these, some of these conspiracy theories. I'm like, okay, am I just completely clueless? Do I have no idea what's going on in the world? Am I the smartest man in the world or am I the dumbest man in the world?
I don't know, man.
I mean, honestly, some of these things come up and I go, wait, that, because
open
of that.
Your fucking eyes!
There's that, and then that's connected to that. And oh, man, that's quite a leap.
It takes a lot of people to keep.
Traitor, enemy. Bloodsucker, parasite.
And then you see, you know,
a lot of people have to stay quiet for a long, long time.
Well, the people that would be required for some of these conspiracies to be real, to cooperate and cooperate on a never-ending basis, is virtually impossible. So many of them.
Open your eyes.
But the one, oh God, I saw a great intervention last night, by the way. Zach and this guy has the most incredible vocal fry I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's Zach, and it's from 2015, I think. Zach, and what's her name?
Whitney?
Whitney, Zach and Whitney, that's it. And Zach lives with Grandpa, and Zach just keeps pawning Grandpa's shit every day to get heroin for him and Whitney. And every time Grandpa figures out, Grandpa's like, what's going on? And Grandpa's just livid. And then the next day I'll go, well, these gifts arrived for my kids, and Grandpa will never know that we didn't get them. He'll just think they didn't come, and they'll send him a new one. And so they'll go and pawn him presents for his kids.
Oh, that's nice.
but his vocal fry is the most fascinating thing in the whole episode.
What season? Do you have any idea?
I think it was, well, Brandon, you said it was Whitney. It's Zach and Whitney, right? Doesn't it say what year?
Season 14, episode 4.
Season 14, jeez.
Megan and Harry, that big Spotify deal proposed, which I just want to throw up when I see that. Oh, God. You know they're going to do it, and they're going to cash in, make a bunch of money.
It'll bomb.
It will bomb. It'll bomb quickly. I think Megan and Harry, it's going to take a while for them to be over. So they're probably smart to cash in all they can now. The audacity of these two idiots.
How's Thomas doing? Is he all right?
Thomas.
Where's he been? Markle. I haven't seen Markle.
You said
Thomas Markle. I don't know.
You said season 14, episode what? Four?
Four. It's episode 194, if that helps.
That's Katie.
Okay.
This is pretty good. God, there were a few good ones.
What are their names
night.
Again? I'm sorry.
Zach and Whitney.
Whitney.
There's this other one where this girl, this girl is like so wasted, and she's just on the phone in front of her mom talking about her, you know, she's her mom's like, well, you're not feeling good. And she's like, well, I just need some more heroin. And she starts shooting up in front of her mom. And is like, oh, my God, don't do that in front of me. And then she comes out in the living room and she goes, she's on the phone with this guy. And she goes, yeah, I'll be there in a half an hour. And yeah, I got a special going. She's talking about her whoring business. And so she's basically setting up whore events in front of her mom.
What does mom do?
Mom's just so bummed out.
Oh, man.
I know. It's like, I keep seeing these. It's not an unusual story. When you have a hot young chick who's addicted to heroin, they will sell their body to get heroin. Almost invariably. And usually their whole family knows about it. They live at home with mom or with dad. And this other girl last night is constantly running out of heroin, and she's like, she's just, oh, I'm sick, I'm dope sick, and it's like, Dad, oh, can I do anything to make you comfortable? What can I do? And then she's like, oh, Jerry's coming over. He's outside. Just let him in. And he's like, oh, God. And then he looks at him and he's like, oh, Jerry, I'm so glad you're here. She's really not feeling well. This guy's who's basically going to give her heroin. She can shoot up. And it's in Dad's place. And it's just so weird. I can't, you know, I guess this is fairly normal now with kids with addiction. The parents just become codependent.
It's tough, though, man. What do you do?
I don't know. I don't know many.
It's hard to help someone when they don't want to get help.
Well, it is, but you know, are you going to buy them heroin?
No, it's easy to say no. I wouldn't. I wouldn't buy them heroin.
Well, that's what these people do. They'll buy them heroin. They'll drive them to pick up heroin.
I think it's a thing you need to nip early in the bud. Nip in the bud very early.
There's this one mom who is driving her daughter. She's like 32. She drives to this part of town where she street walks to pick up dudes.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And she knows where she's going. And the weird thing is, okay, the girl last night, for example, she just has these like two or three rapid fire calls. And I'm like, oh, what are you doing? And she goes, well, I've got a special going.
Oh, no.
And then she asks her mom.
By the way, gross.
I know. She asks her mom.
Don't ever get a prostitute on special.
There's a guy, by the way, that she meets, and she's mic'd, and she's getting drugs. And this guy goes, well, there's some really freaky rumors going around. She's like, what? And she goes, yeah, it's just spreading diseases all over the place. Genital warts. And it's like, oh, she's like, God, yeah, of course. Gross. And she's like, oh, that's just bullshit. And this chick is so gross. And then when she makes these appointments to meet these dudes to whore out in front of her mom, and her mom's like, what's going on? What's all the activity on the phone? She's like, well, I got a special going. And then she asks her mom for a ride to meet this guy. And her mom's like, I don't want to take you there. And she's like, oh, you bitch.
This isn't it, is it? This looks like one you watched recently. That's not it, is it?
No, that's not Zach. If there's no vocal fry, it's not Zach. Brandon, sure it's episode 4, season 14?
Everywhere I Google, it keeps saying season 14, episode 4.
Intervention. Definitely not that, or at least
Tom. This guy's got his hair's cut real short, and he's got like a little goatee. And he loves heroin. And Whitney loves heroin, too.
All right, let's go through them all. Let's see.
I think it's, I want to say it's 2015 or so. Yeah, if I see the picture, I'll recognize him. The vocal fry, it's almost worth all this time to hear his vocal fry. Because it's
yeah,
so
it's definitely
amazing.
2015. In April of 2015 was when it was first released.
Damn, why can't we find fucking Zach?
So would that be season 16 then?
I have all the info. What I think, honestly, is I think the, you know, your menu there is a little jacked up.
How do you know you're a little jacked? I mean, I'm looking because, at this. This is what Intervention put on Comcast.
I know, but at times when I try to find, you know, certain things, maybe a drop or something, somebody will tell me, hey, it's season 4, episode 9. And then when I go to it, it's completely not that on
the
menu for some reason. I just think there's a disconnect.
Wait, who's
somewhere.
Who's that, Zach and who?
Teresa.
No, that's not Zach. No, I don't think it's Teresa. Fuck.
Looks like you watched Jessica recently.
I noticed a lot of people have enjoyed watching Al's little web series.
Oh, yeah. How's that going?
Al arrests the people in the garage.
The Teresa episode is the Zach. Yeah, it's, yeah.
Wait, that's the Zach?
Yeah, Zach and
Teresa.
Are...
I thought it said Zach and Whitney.
I know, but listen, Zach and Whitney are together, but Teresa also has a story in there somewhere.
Oh, it's Zach's story with Teresa. Yeah, they have two episodes in one.
How come Whitney doesn't
Teresa might be the chick that has the deal on Trix.
Well, that was the one I had up, and you said it wasn't that one.
Well, that's because Whitney is Zach's woman's name. She's the one who actually goes to Intervention to intervene on Zach and then goes, well, I'm fucked up too, so I need help.
Is this him?
Yeah, that's him. That's Zach. Oh, my God.
How come Whitney gets no billing on this?
I know. She should. She should get billing.
Zach looks like a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, Zach, he's pretty cool until he starts pawning all the Grandpa looks like a skinny, fat bastard. Wait to see Grandpa. I swear to God, last night, though, he looks like fat bastard got gastric bypass. Check him out. I'm not kidding.
That's one of the best separated births I've ever seen.
Have you seen him?
Yeah, I just as expensive.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
It's really good. Here's Zach.
Like, who does that guy look like? Who the fuck's he look like? I'm like, he looks like fat bastard with gastric.
Come here, son. Zayden, over here. come slam dunk it.
Zayden.
Yeah. Yeah, that's his little son.
My name is Whitney. Yeah. Live with Zach, my son Zayden, and Zach's grandfather Gary.
Zachary's been living with me for.
All right, hang on. I just
like him.
I just want. I know Brandon, you're shoveling food in your mouth right now, but I want you to see him.
No way.
No, a nice answer. No
Brandon
way.
Can enjoy dinner during the show every night. That's great.
Does he look like Fat Bastard?
Wow, that's a really amazing. Really separated at birth.
Well, he's Fat Bastard after gastric bypass.
What's for dinner?
It's spaghetti salad.
That's it?
Yeah. It's delicious.
Well, no wonder you don't want to come back to work.
Nice of her to bring a shovel for you to eat it with.
I want to come back to work. Stop it.
Probably over a year.
Yeah. My favorite.
I just want to point out.
There's the vocal, right?
I just want to point out that I think Zayden is a little too old to have a pacifier. do you want to agree with that or not?
Well, there's not a lot of parenting going on.
Grandfather
too busy getting money for heroin.
He's been living with me for... probably over a year.
Yeah.
My favorite thing in the world is Whitney and Zayden. They are my world.
And heroin.
Look, bud.
They are my Zayden. World, but I'm not doing heroin or.
Yeah.
I detected a little bit of fry on.
Yeah.
On Grandpa Bastard.
It's nothing like Zach. Though.
I've been able to watch them and how they take care of Zayden. They are.
That's Grandpa.
Very good.
Oh wow, that's hereditary.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a hereditary fry.
Yeah.
So my grandpas have kind of been naive.
Just want everything else right now, huh? Gotta play some basketball so you can become a basketball star.
Start by
he's a great parent when he's not pawning the kids' stuff right for heroin money.
I'm a cocaine and heroin addict.
Well, that's why he understands his son's addiction to pacifiers.
Using heroin for about 7 years now.
Isn't that amazing?
Heroin together.
I mean, have you ever heard vocal fry that intense? On a dude?
Is it a little stereotypical that sitting on the table next to him, and I love both these products, but sitting on the table next to him is a Bud Light, 22-ounce Bud Light can, and a Mountain Dew? Brandon, is that a little cliche?
Possibly.
Brandon's got a Mountain Dew. You'd have a Mountain Dew on you.
Except I don't shoot up. I smoke it. I'm using close to $200 a day.
Yeah.
$200 a day? He's no job. No job. He just pawns grandpa's shit.
A gram of cocaine a day.
He's this close to having
a blow a day.
His hands. He's going to lose his son and Whitney.
Heroin's got a grasp of me. I can't handle it, and I have to have it.
Oh, Whitney submitted Zach, yeah.
So Whitney's clean.
No, she's not.
Oh, why'd she submit her?
She knows if Zach stops partying, that she'll stop partying.
Well, doesn't it work the other way? Why doesn't she stop partying?
Well, because Zach pawns all of Grandpa's shit. She can't pawn Grandpa's shit. It's not her grandpa.
So it's basically Zach's wearing the pants in this relationship.
Pretty much.
It's so hard for us to all see how he could do this to himself and to his son.
Well, you!
I want my son's father back. I want the man that I thought I was.
She got into it after a while. He got her into it.
Well, I want her to turn her phone into landscape mode, too, but we can't all get what we want, right?
Be quiet.
Zach doesn't care about anyone else besides himself and his drugs.
It's one of those shark vacuums.
He's taking his vacuum cleaner.
Zach now, I thought, is
pause for a second. This is a bad call. People use vacuum cleaners fairly often.
Oh, I mean,
Grandpa's going to be—it's going to be missing in no time. Grandpa's going to go. Where's my vacuum cleaner?
How much can you pawn that vacuum for?
He needs like $50 worth to get him through the morning.
No one's going to buy that for $50.
We'll see.
Is that kid too old to be in diapers too? Because right now they showed him standing in front of the TV in just a diaper.
I wondered the same thing, Mark.
I mean, that kid's what, 3 and a half?
I think he's too old to be in diapers. But these guys are busy getting heroin. They got a hell of a day ahead of them. Every fucking day they get up, they have no jobs, no money, and they got to find $200 worth of heroin. That's a job.
Money.
Awesome.
There doesn't really seem to be an end for him. He's going to do what he's going to do.
Whose car?
I can't stop
Grandpa gave it to him.
Zach will end up dead if something is not done.
I love that he's smoking
Grandma.
Heroin whilst driving.
When Zachary was born, honestly, I felt like I had just been born. He was the best thing that ever happened to me.
My brother has always been my best
That's
friend.
That's the mom who abandons him.
I wanted to be just
Yeah.
Brother. He started getting into sports. He liked to play basketball as a young child, but it wasn't until he was older I realized he was really good at basketball.
Zachary and I have been very close for many years bastard. Because of the situation. Is
there's an old picture of him. I think he might have had gastric bypass. Yep. Let me show you, Brandon. Hang on. There's an old picture.
Why do I have so much fun watching Intervention? Is something wrong with me?
Yeah, that's okay. You're shallow.
I mean, Cops, Intervention.
Love it. It's great.
I mean, to see people who are in much worse shape than me does help me in some strange way.
Well, like with Intervention Al, though, he got better. So it's a good story.
No, it is a good story.
Of the human spirit and what we can overcome.
Can I comment on Grandpa's picture?
Yes.
Nice pants. Why do you wear them up to your tits?
Yeah, they're a little high. They're close to the logo, which is centered on the sweatshirt.
And it's a Branson. Makes it all better.
Parents were in.
When Zachary was 5, that's when I became very addicted to pills.
Oh, it's your fault.
Mess with the drugs.
It's an addictive personality. It's not his fault.
Everything just went to hell.
Yeah.
We were the same age. We were both teenage parents. Zachary's dad always got into the drug scene.
Is that the worst perm you've ever seen on mom? Oh my God.
Waking up in the mornings and my dad would take Alyssa and I with him. It would go
I've never met him.
Steal from people's garages that took upon it. I do remember that.
The police came to our house.
Oh, well, that
he was home with the children.
Part of why the behaviors.
And arrested him. I got to my house right as they were leaving and I was begging them not to take the kids.
This always kills me. Social services took Zach and Alyssa. Pause for a second.
So.
Yeah.
People addicted to heroin will always, on the show, they'll always, 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 they can have 4 kids that have been taken away, 2 kids, 3 kids, 1 kid, 9 kids. It doesn't matter what the number is. They'll always say, there's nothing more important to me than my kids.
Yeah. Well, we heard Zach.
But no, heroin's more important to you because that's all you do. And you've lost your kids. So he's not that important to you. Stop.
It's the pull of heroin.
Looked at me and he said, well, Judy, we don't have a choice. We've got to adopt them.
I don't know how fucking grandparents do this. I really don't. I'm amazed. I'm blown away by grandparents who do this. They're incredible.
It was just the start of a black hole for my brother.
When
Dad got out of prison when he was 14.
Home, I didn't realize the influence that he had on Zach. In hindsight, it was plain stupid on my part.
My dad's actually the first person I ever used heroin with. I remember the smell of the heroin. I always knew when he would
get your kid on the spike, Dad. Especially with 4 fat bastard and grandma raising this kid. And he does that. I think Zach found cocaine on his own, though.
I don't know. Zach pushed me. But he didn't stop me either.
Oh, come on. Mom had been off heroin. Everything would have been okay. She could have worked.
She needs to take a little bit of responsibility there.
I wish I had a father.
Gotta admit, this is a pretty good episode.
It's great so far.
I just want to, be a father.
They discover that Whitney's using heroin with Zach 4 times a day. That's why they have to pawn so much shit. It's not their fault.
I started using heroin so that we could be a family, that I could be with Zach, that Zayden could be with...
I'm sorry, but that is an incredible justification. She started using heroin so it could be a nice family event.
Well, they you know, a couple that does heroin together stays together because they got to get heroin together.
Pawn together.
Although Zach, I think it was a bad move on his part because he has to pawn more shit to keep her going.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, the kid's coming in. Shut the door!
It breaks my heart that I do this to my son.
Because he means everything to her.
He deserves so much more. He's such an amazing little kid. Could be any day.
That's smoking heroin.
I just don't understand why we do this.
It makes you feel good when you have to deal with
that
really
kid. Feels good. Oh, wait, here's Teresa. Let me see which bitch this is. Raceland, Louisiana.
Oh, she's drinking a Bud Light, too. Nice.
Oh, wait.
My mom drinks beer.
Oh. She drinks like 30 beers a day.
Cool.
The minute she wakes up until the minute she goes to sleep.
And dad picks up beer for her.
She's
her dad,
thirsty.
Her dad is her enabler. Her dad spends $500 a week on cigarettes and beer for her.
Wow.
And he brings it over. It's like in the morning, and she's like, oh, my God, I got to have alcohol in my system immediately, or she starts spazzing out.
That's
so
rough.
Dad's like, here's your medicine. Brings a 12-pack in.
At home because she's been banned from a lot of places.
That's your son?
I keep at least a case of beer in the icebox every day.
Wow.
30 brews a day.
It's hard to fathom drinking that much every day.
There she's at the bar. Look how much fun they're having, though.
When she doesn't have alcohol in her system, she just gets uncontrollably sick.
When I get up in the morning, I have the shakes.
Oh, no.
She has scarring on her liver, too.
After you get the first couple of beers in your system, it eases the shakes and the sweating kind of goes away. So by that point, you feel like, okay, well, I could drink a few more.
Yeah.
Really?
Most people drink to have fun. She turns to it because she needs it to live.
Well, he didn't see the clip of her at the bar because they were having fun at the bar.
Hold on a sec. I'm going to get me a beer.
It just hurts me to know that she's damaged a vital organ in her body like that.
Because I haven't been going to the doctor and I haven't had any medication, it's probably irreversible now.
Great. Well, you might as well drink.
There was a girl that just had a great deal
of
potential.
Seriously.
And she's lost a lot of years drinking.
Okay, Teresa, speed ahead to Zach. We got.
Why don't you go tell your mom to shut up?
Zach. Eventually goes a little too far with the pawning and Fat Bastard loses it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he gets really bummed.
Does he say, get in my belly? I don't know.
No, Fat Bastard is like ready to kick his ass. He tries to explain at one point this check that Grandpa gave him and what happened to the money. And it's like, dude,
get in my belly. Come on. Get in my belly. Come on.
8 and 8. Okay.
He's calling his dealer.
It's not a life like I've said before. This is a hell.
They've taken off again.
The whole day just consists of trying to get money, then going to meet our drug dealer. And then right after that, we'll get used for a couple hours, but then we're just back to doing that again. That goes on literally throughout the whole day. It's pathetic,
Grandpa,
but it's
hard
to not be sick.
It's my first day.
I can see him enabling me.
Wait, she's getting vocal fry now.
Yeah, well.
Okay, speed ahead.
You hang around him long enough.
I think it's before the pre-intervention that Fat Bastard and his grandson.
Well, that looks like a confrontation. Is that it?
That's one of them. Yeah, you can watch that. It's worth watching. Zach, by the way, is clean. I just want people to know he's clean now.
No, yeah. See, it's a good story.
Yeah, this is a great story.
No, I want you right over here so I can smack you.
What?
Uh-oh. Where's my guns?
About a couple weeks ago, I pawned two of my grandpa's real handguns. That was probably the stupidest thing I've ever done.
Also, bring me back that copy of every place you pawned my stuff. We're running out of time with me. I've had it.
The stress has become...
Grandpa's got a pretty sweet Bluetooth earpiece.
He does.
So he can be on the phone while he's yelling at Zach.
I'm going to give you another choice. Be gone out of my house by Monday.
Whoa! If it was not for this intervention... Hey,
Grandpa never means it, though. He's exactly said that a million times. It not, means nothing.
Kids can stay with you. You be gone.
Great story, Grandpa.
Grandpa talks a big game, but it's all bullshit. Oh, back to Teresa.
Well, I just thought I want to have a few beers, and if it's not at home, it's at Southern Girls and Ranch.
Southern Girls Lounge looks good. We should look that up and see the reviews.
Heard her two friends have a ball. That's a great idea, though. We should look it up. Southern Girl. What is Southern Girls
Southern
Lounge?
Southern Girls Lounge.
She gets in a fight there in the parking lot because somebody doesn't want the filming, the crew, the intervention crew.
What?
Yeah. I just woke up.
That means she threatens to kick their ass.
That means fun things happen at Southern
Okay,
Girls
this is, I think, where he discovers the toys that they can pawn. They're brand new.
The
good,
kids,
great stuff,
this is the presents you were just saying that were for you.
Yeah.
A couple hits of Christmas heroin presents. Left that I already did, but we're going to go to the pawn shop. I'm going to be pawning a laptop.
A computer? Whose laptop?
Grandpa's. Laptop.
Makes me more
Grandpa doesn't use it that much, though.
Damn.
Well, he didn't even wipe it, man. Yeah, everyone's going to know Grandpa's pawn.
Well, no, he's pawning it, so Grandpa's going to buy it out of pawn.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's part of the reason I continue to use, too, is it kind of covers it up.
Yeah, it covers up the guilt of pawning all Grandpa's shit.
How much do you need today? I'm trying to come up with around $250, but it was close to $700 when I got it.
I think it should be $80.
So you could do $80, though?
I'll do $80 at the most.
Boy, what a great negotiator.
But that's enough to get him high this morning, so all good.
Didn't even barter with him.
The worst, stupidest too. Deals I've ever seen.
It's not even his computer. He was lying.
And we are just destroying ourselves.
They show the kid again. Full diaper.
Get it done.
And the way it was sagging.
I can kind of have a better idea of
okay,
what I
ahead.
Need to do for myself.
You gotta see what he pawns. He just fucks this kid's Christmas up. Total bullshit.
I won't know. If I know one thing about kids, they
that's true. The kid doesn't. I mean, he never saw it, so he never knew he had it.
Is this the fight?
Yeah, this is it. This is it. Oh. Yeah, this one fat bastard loses it.
Oh, man.
Brandon, are you entertained, even though you can't see it?
No, absolutely. I love intervention. In fact, I have one I need to recommend to you. It's episode 116, Tyler, season 7, episode 16.
Without even seeing it, I guarantee you I've seen it. Probably more than once. What's Tyler's all about?
It's probably the one that has affected me the most. It was the one where it's this guy, he's a widow, and he's got three children, two boys and a girl. And throughout the course of this episode of intervention, two of the children die from overdoses, and he keeps
partying. Yeah, I know the guy. Oh,
it was terrible.
I know that one's that's a bummer. I didn't get much out of that one.
Heartstrings.
Okay, heads up for Fat Bastard. He's about to lose it.
Get in my belly!
On the computer.
Huh?
I got a loan on the computer.
On what computer?
The computer.
Uh-oh.
Your computer.
Mine?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
You did what?
I got a loan on it.
You want to go?
You're dead.
Whoa, you're dead. He's going to kill him.
Get out of my house right now.
Okay.
What do you want to do, huh?
What?
Heads up.
Where'd my cousin son of a...
What? What?
What?
Don't.
Don't.
Oh, he's scrapping. He has his sunglasses on, too. At least he looks cool when he's getting his ass kicked.
Get off me.
Hit him, bro! You too, Lenny!
Freak! I don't even know who that you are.
You could call him a freak.
You got a roll on my computer. First you try my goddamn credit cards. And then you take my computer. That's the second son of a bitch you've taken.
He doesn't play up his sickness enough. He should say, Grandpa, but I'm sick.
Why doesn't he offer to pawn it to Grandpa first? Save everybody the trip to the pawn store.
I know. It's easier to ask forgiveness and permission.
What is wrong with you? You sick son of a bitch.
I don't even have a fucking computer.
Yeah,
I know. You should say, well, you never use it, Grandpa.
I can fix that. One damn phone call.
God, Grandpa's scaring me, man. He's a tough dude.
And how much did you get it for?
Just 80.
Come on, get my truck. We're going over there right now. Get the truck.
We're gonna have to go to our classroom.
Why do I have to go? You're gonna buy it out. You don't need me.
Get the truck. Stop.
Get the truck.
I could be here smoking more heroin.
Now.
Why does he have to go?
So get in the truck.
He said get in the fucking truck, bitch. Get in the fucking truck. Get in the truck.
Please, Zachary.
My grandpa is my dad. I never meant to purposely hurt him.
Yeah, right.
Just to think, no matter
what. I could be home looking for a job, Grandpa.
What a mess.
Brought in a little while ago.
This piece of shit is my grandson.
This piece of shit is my grandson. Great introduction, Grandpa.
Bring me $12 and we can hold it at another 30 days for you, okay?
Oh, okay.
Grandpa have money like this?
This piece of shit is my grandson.
I've not decided yet what I'm going to do with you. Where you come off thinking you can continue to take my stuff? Where's the money?
I don't have it.
What do you want to do, huh?
I don't have it.
Where is it?
I already used it. I have more guilt than I've ever felt in my life for so many reasons.
But don't ever say you're not like your dad again either.
But not enough guilt not to pawn the kid's toys.
You think I could take him in a fight?
Wow. Wow. Well, I'm glad he's clean.
He's doing great now. Whitney has not been as successful, unfortunately.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she relapsed a few times, I believe.
She did? Are they still together?
I'm not sure. I don't think it's said. It just said that she was still trying to get off the smack.
That's sad.
Yeah. So, yeah, bad day for Grandpa.
Grandpa for all of them. Brandon also had a bad day today. He still hasn't told his story yet. He He's going to tell it when
what
you...
What song is this?
This is Bad Day.
Oh. We don't have the hook anymore?
Well, no, we do.
Listen to the whole damn song?
Just started there to talk it up.
What happened to Brandon?
So, as I mentioned earlier in the week, today was my scheduled date for my brain test, my EEG, where people go ahead and hook up a bunch of things to my noggin, and they try to figure out what's going on with my brain. And so I had that
guess
all
what?
Set and
guess
ready
what?
To
Your
go.
Results are in.
You have a brain like a chicken.
precursor here. Everything's my fault, so I'm going to be throwing no blame on anybody else. Just need to get that out there. But I had to get a COVID test in order to get this EEG done because you're in a room with another person. They just got to make sure that you're not going to spread it to them.
That sucks.
So I went ahead and I got my COVID test, and I was speaking to the people, and, hey, how do I get my results? What's going on? And they said, oh, we're going to call you, but it's also going to be available on this app. So I said, oh, great, I'll just get it now.
Of course, so, another app.
Yeah, I have to sign up, do this app thing, create a profile, and everything's good. I get my test done, and I get a phone call a couple days later that says, hey, congratulations, you're negative for COVID. You don't have it. And I said, oh, great, that's awesome. And so I just am expecting to have it on my phone, on my app, so I can go get my test done. So I wake up this morning, decide to call an Uber because I don't want to bother anybody. Kristen's working. She's also got to deal with Madeline, who's home, and you know, we don't have a daycare right now. I didn't want to bother Marcus. He offered, yeah. But I just didn't want to. It's a test. I didn't want to have him wait for a couple hours while I was doing all that crap.
You could listen to podcasts while he waited.
It's true.
Well, I mean, when he took me to get my wisdom teeth taken out, he sat in the parking lot for like 2 hours while I got this procedure done. He just hung out, and I know he would have done
it. Such a good guy.
I know he offered.
Yeah.
But he does enough for me already, so I didn't want to be a burden, and I went ahead and got my Uber. Dude comes over, picks me up, and it's probably, half-hour drive. So, halfway there, I realized, oh, my God, I got to take a dump. Oh, boy. And it was, like, hitting me hard.
This is starting to sound like a Trump Unity Bridge story.
Yeah. No, this is going to be a Trump Unity Bridge story. So feel free to interrupt and make fun of me all you want on it. But that is an essential part of this story. We arrive at the location, and I walk in, and I immediately just go towards the bathroom. And
wait, this is at the brain scan place?
Yeah, yeah. This is at
so you walk in there right away and you're like, yeah, where's the shitter, man?
Where's the shitter? I take a dump.
It's exactly what happened. I walk in and I'm like, what's going on with this bathroom? And out of order. And
I hate that.
Where's the bathroom? I gotta take a dump.
I'm like, you gotta be kidding me, out of order. So I sign
well,
in and I'm
is
like,
there
all
a
right.
toilet there with a hole? Looks like it works to me.
There is no bathroom.
So this is already kind of getting me a little nervous.
Here's, here's Brandon
got this
in the
test.
In the Uber on the way over there.
Let me just make it to the bathroom before I lose my pals all over myself.
I'm kind of in a sense I'm a little bit nervous about it because what this test consists of is I sit in a dark room with a strobe light in front of me and they just go, you know, they just hit me hard.
That'll release all your bowels.
And they're trying, yeah, and I'm just, you know, if I have a seizure or something like this, yeah, I'm going to probably take a dump in my pants. I don't know. So it was on my mind. It was. So anyway.
So you say, look, I either take a shit in that toilet, which doesn't work, or where's the other one?
I figured I could hold it. I was like, you know what? I got to go bad, but I can hold it. No problem. So I go in there and take my test, and the guy's like, where's your COVID results? And I was like, oh, crap, it's right here on my phone. Hold on, I got to bring up my profile. And he goes, that's not going to work. I need a paper.
What?
I need paper results.
Frankly, they should have sent it to him anyway.
Now, when I originally spoke with this office, they didn't tell me anything about a paper result. So I'm like, crap. So I put my phone away. And I figure, how am I going to get these results? I call the place that did my test, and they said, no problem. We can fax it to you. All you got to do is fax us a release. Oh, okay, great. So hang up with them. Talk to the guy. Hey, I need a fax over release. They're going to send you the results. The guy looks at me like, I don't know how to use a fax machine. Like he knows how to receive them, but he doesn't know how to send them out or something.
But what is this place? They don't have a shitter that works. They can't use a fax machine.
Not only that, last week I had an appointment with them on Wednesday, a virtual appointment for 11:30. I didn't speak with them until 3 p.m. I was furious.
What?
Yes.
Oh, so this is the end of this office, another. Man.
Yeah. So I now can't have, I can't get my COVID results faxed over, so I'm not going to be able to get a paper copy for them. And so I just wasted this trip all the way out there that I paid for, and I'm getting angry. And finally the guy goes, all right, just let me see the results on the app. Like, the paper results didn't matter now that I spent 20 minutes trying to get them.
What a jerk.
So I go to open up the app. I'm in my profile. I click the test results tab, and it says no results. And I said, what the hell's this shit all about?
Wait, I thought said you passed.
I did. I'm a negative. But it didn't show like there was anything. There was no results for any kind of testing that I had ever done. So I'm like, what is going on?
How did you find out that you were negative, COVID negative?
I received a phone call from somebody who just said, hey, I just want you to know that we did get your results. You are negative for COVID-19. And then I just assumed, oh, well, it's in my profile that I set up. So everything
is
good.
So you didn't check the app?
I should have checked the app, yes. And that's why I had that precursor, this is my fault.
Okay.
But moving forward, he decides, I can do it if he can see it on the app. And I click it, and finally I hit a couple buttons, and it says, would you like your results? And I said, oh, here's the button. And I click it, and it says, please allow 24 hours for your results to show up in the app.
Oh, man.
Oh,
nice.
So now I'm fucked. I'm screwed. I can't do anything, and so I have to reschedule, and which is a bummer. I have to get another Uber home. So I go outside, and I'm waiting for the Uber to pick me up. Charisse is going to pick me up in 15 minutes. All right, great.
Cool.
So I sit down, 15 minutes passes, and I check my phone again, and it says 2 minutes away. And then all of a sudden it switches. Hey, we found you a new driver. Now Jared's going to pick you up in 15 minutes.
His name is Jared. And by the way, do you not have to take a dump anymore?
No, I had to take the biggest dump the whole time, like when I'm outside. And it's to the point where I'm in this facility, medical facility. But I'm not really close to anything that I can walk to and use their facilities and then come back. So,
I hope you asked Jared at hey, McDonald's for a second.
I thought about that. Well, so either way, the first 15 minutes I'm waiting, and then all of a sudden, I don't know why it does this to you. The person decided they didn't want to pick me up, and then boom, another person has to pick me up.
Yeah.
It's going to take 15 minutes. So, the only good thing that happened was while I was waiting for Jared to come pick me up, this flock of like 40 birds came flying over my head.
Oh,
this is
gross.
The crazy, like all these pigeons. One of them dropped this massive, massive bird poop right next to me, and it missed me, but it was literally a foot away from me. So that was good news because I didn't get hit. If Mark had been sitting
I
on that
where
bird
I would
next
have been
to me,
standing, yeah.
It would have landed on him because he's known
always
for
always
get
shit
by
on by birds.
So I hop into Jared's van. We head home. Halfway home.
Did Jared wonder why the whole ride you were leaning to one side?
Oh, I was visually walking weird. You know how you have that? It's almost like you're walking on your tiptoes. I was doing everything I could to keep my sphincter as tight. This was one of the bad ones. People who have, bowel issues, IBS, or I don't have that. But people who have it know this issue. When you got to go, you got to go now. And I was struggling at this point. It had been hours since I first had to go. So we're halfway back home to my house, and ding, hey, your results are in. Here they are.
Sorry, man. That sucks.
So
I thought it took 24 hours.
So the results
That's probably
are,
for people that download the app the second after they get the test done, Drew.
Well, what I didn't know is because I did download the app as soon as I got the test done. But what I didn't do is I didn't click the button that gave a permission or something to, have the results appear on there. That's what took, instead of taking 24 hours, like it said, it actually only took maybe an hour, but it was just a bummer. I finally got home. I unloaded on the toilet, and I do feel better. I do have my results. I had to reschedule, but it's going to be a lot longer before I can check my levels, get my EEG done.
Which means that's even further from when you can come back here, right?
Well, I mean,
right? I mean, if you got to get that fixed before you can drive again.
I'm trying to figure things out. Yes, yes, and I appreciate you guys being patient with me. It hasn't been easy. The way I look at it, you know, if you injure your arm, if you injure your leg, it takes a while to heal. Now, I injured my brain. And so it's not like it just, you know, when I wake up, everything is better. I'm still gradually healing, and it sucks because...
But, yeah, because you're still having effects from the seizure, I think you said.
As hard as it is for me to admit, this one really fucked me up. It really messed me up.
That's scary, dude.
Yeah, so I am back at it. I am back at it doing your boner lines, too. I have one for you right
now.
Well, you want to hit it after the outro? Should we just do the outro? Because we're pretty well done.
I can do that, and I'm also going to hit Larry Flint on the way out, too.
Oh, yeah.
Any more brain busters?
Or you could do Larry Flint today and the boner line tomorrow. Or
save the boner line.
I'll leave it up to you.
Save the boner line.
I'll save the boner line.
What is the boat of the boner line people talking about?
Why there isn't any boner lines lately.
Oh, okay.
No, it's a nice mixture of a whole bunch of different stuff over the last couple weeks, and I have a lot more catching up to do. I do appreciate the calls, 209-66-BONER. Even though I haven't had very many in the last couple weeks, I still listen and read all the text messages and dump a lot of that stuff down so it could be used in the future.
So people are still calling the boner line?
Oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. Hell, lots.
How many people call today? Because we haven't even plugged it lately.
I would say probably anywhere between 15 and 50. It all depends on, you know, maybe the previous show.
And by the way, don't forget about the Drew and Mike store. If you want to see these great, they're not masks that Elric's made for the Soul of Detroit, but what are they called?
Gators. Mm-hmm. There are masks on there too, but gators, yeah. Oh, what happened? Oh.
What did happen?
My computer just crashed that whole program. That's great.
Really?
That's fun to know.
Wow. I don't remember that happening.
That's just...
Yeah, that sounds different too, doesn't it? Slightly?
Yeah. Oh, that's because Brandon's playing it now.
Oh, yeah. I'm playing it off a different device, so it's going to sound different.
Yeah, boy.
Well, I got it up again. I don't know.
Well, I'm reaching the end of the road with Zoom.
Me too.
Nothing crashed there. Brandon just wanted you to hear his fart.
My bad.
Don't apologize. You're not ashamed by that.
Elric's got his room 7609 keychains too.
Yes, and a new episode.
Yeah, with Devin Skillian.
Devin's great. God, he's just a good guy, smart guy.
Yeah, he's a solid guest. I mean, there's only so many great guests in town. I hate to say that, but I think it's just true. I mean, guests that you can count on to be good, and he would be in that category, in my opinion.
I was talking to ML, too. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I'm going to say it. He did ask for somebody else on another station, and that person said that station would not allow them to come on the show.
What?
Apparently, there's station still some...
One of the stations he used to work for, maybe?
Apparently, well, he used to work at Channel 4, and Devin was on, so you figure it out.
Uh-huh.
Shows that some people are still a little salty, huh?
By the way, Devin really, really had to work hard on Monday night because there was a lot of things to plug.
Yeah. He's good at it, though, man.
Fireworks.
He's smooth.
Oh, my God. They had so many commercials that weren't commercials, like, and here's another Michigan sparkler. And it'd be like 2 minutes on, you know, a furniture company.
Oh, man. Well, now we know why it had to happen.
It was work. All right. Well, see you tomorrow.
Hi, Mrs. Chicken. I'm Larry Flint, and you look like you want me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, finger licking good.
Oh,
yeah, you bitch.
Larry!
Oh, you chicken.
Larry Flint! It's your grandmother. Have you seen my chicken?
No, I don't know where she is, Grandma.
20 years later at the Hustler Club.
Hey, who's that new piece of ass on stage?
That's Althea.
Althea? Get your skanky ass over here, Althea.
Okay.
I think you and your tits are under 18.
So?
I got good news and bad news. I don't know if you can dance in my club anymore, but I do have a club you can sit on.
Oh, Larry. Oh, you're so rich. Oh, you have so much money.
No, you're too bad.
Oh.
Oh, slut. Get off me. I'm starting a magazine. Hey, guys.
Yeah?
You read Playboy and Penthouse, right?
Yeah.
Do you give a crap about these stupid articles about stereos?
No.
Hey, man.
Would you rather see chicks completely nude spreading them?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hey, Larry, I got nude photos of Jackie Onassis.
I'll buy them. What you want for them?
$18,000? She's got quite a forest.
Hey, throw in Pat Boone's dick in a shoebox and you got a deal.
Deal!
1 week later...
Hey, Larry, thanks to Jackie O's forest, you're a millionaire. Will you marry me?
Can I still doink other chicks?
Of course, and so can I.
Yeah, all right, whatever.
Hey, Larry, you're under arrest for obscenity.
What? How can they arrest me for showing a woman's vagina? The vagina is as beautiful as her face.
Well, maybe, but look at her face.
Crap, honey. Where's my this court t-shirt?
Middle drawer between the vibrator and my syringes.
Months later in court.
You're obscene. First Amendment.
You're obscene.
First Amendment.
You're obscene. Obscene, 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 obscene.
Shut up. I have a verdict. Larry Flint, guilty.
Fuck.
2 years later.
Hi, Larry. I'm President Carter's sister. I just wanted to introduce you to Jesus. Jesus, this is Larry.
Hello, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, I am born again.
Screw Jesus. My legs hurt.
Larry, are you okay? You sound like Dr. Detroit.
I've been shot. Get me a gold-plated wheelchair and lots of drugs.
1 year later, in Larry's bedroom.
Althea, do you want to go out?
No, I'd rather do heroin. Maybe when my sores heal.
1 year later.
Larry, you want to go out?
I don't know. I'd rather take pills, crap my pants, and accidentally OD.
1 year later.
Althea, do you want to go out?
I'd rather shoot some heroin. You feel like ODing on pills again?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, well, I've got AIDS, so I'm going to go take a bath.
Whatever. God damn it, Althea, you're flooding the bedroom! Althea!
1 year later, back at Hustler.
Larry, we've got to go to court again.
What for? I've been in a fog.
Your ad parody suggesting Jerry Falwell had sex with his mom in an outhouse.
Yeah, so?
He's suing, Larry.
What for? Oh, what a baby. Where's my American flag diaper?
Months later in court with Jerry Falwell.
You defamed me and my saintly mother.
First Amendment.
You defamed me.
First Amendment.
You defamed me. You defamed me. You defamed me.
Hey, shut up,
you
both
defamed
of
me.
Hey, shut up. I said guilty. 6 months in jail.
Is that the best you can do?
All right, motherfucker, 12 months.
Well, how about this?
15 months.
2 years later, outside the Supreme Court.
Larry, it's your lawyer. I just beat Falwell in the Supreme Court.
So I'm not an obscene pig after all?
No, Larry, you're a great guy.
Good, good. Listen, I'd love to go on about what a great guy I am, but we got a best stump contest going on, a lot of entries to look at, a few snuff films to check out. Hold on a sec. Hang on, girls. Just get it on with each other. I'll be right with you. Yeah, that's it.
Larry!
There's your daddy.
Larry!
Yeah, just give this thing a little peck. Yeah, right there.
Larry?
Yeah.
You defamed me!